If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You can't make a connection with two screws. It takes a screw and a nut.
Wow, look at how gay we are. I am so gay with my gayness.
Me too. I'm a homo.
They still got it.
I just love peanut butter and would like people to be that I could talk to peanut about with peanut butter.
You talk a lot. And yet you say nothing.
This is supposed to play something now. Wait a sec, because I'm going to make this work. This is the newest song. Okay, with Dolly and Ricky Van Shelton. Let's see if this works or not. There it is. Let's try it now, because I really like this song. Oh, yeah.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
I find that despicable. I find that disgusting. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Marijuana is delicious.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
No, thank you. I take it back, like my man.
Roll another one.
We're gonna smoke some pot tonight, pot tonight, pot tonight.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about. I don't have another cent.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Well, don't bogart that joint.
Where do you want to stay tonight?
Just pass it around. Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend. Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
This is the real action. The pot party. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
Our feature presentation.
Shaolin Rain. Computer chips are what's inside my brain. Shaolin Rain. I eat dog and drive like I'm insane. Shaolin Rain. Please update the code. Hard drive, Shaolin Rain. I dumpster dive in order to survive. Cafe Yu. Get your tang or churn go. Cafe Yu. Ngom say ngo chow gan mut, yeah.
Why do you put that melody back in my head? I just finally stopped thinking about goddamn Chocolate Rain, and now you play that.
That's why. If you listen to that for, I believe the record is 12 seconds. If you listen to it longer than 12 seconds, it's stuck for 24 hours. Nothing you can do about it.
It is the hookiest song, the most addictive song, since probably It's a Small World. You just you hear it once, you can't forget it.
You're right.
And yet, a bad song.
Chocolate Rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate Rain.
Okay, that's it. You're done. You're screwed for the whole weekend now.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do.
And if you listen to it on a Friday, that's true. It is all 3 days.
Thank you, Kevin.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Is that your gift to us
yes,
for the weekend?
You're welcome.
Bastard.
You're certainly
welcome. Hey, I need to follow up. There's good conversation sometimes, Kevin, that goes on right before you walk in the room between
Lisa
and Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
And Lisa was talking about how ungodly hot it was in her apartment last night.
Yeah.
So you got to just be like so naked. Like you're practically peeling your skin off. You're so naked, right?
So naked. I'm no sheets, nothing. I'm just naked.
Sweat glistening.
With a fan blowing on me. Yeah.
Nice.
You got to be naked now. There's no other. I mean, I'm naked in my apartment most of the time now. I don't even bother.
All right.
Total NHO, too, with the fans. You know, with the fans on, she's got the NHO rocking.
The NHO.
I don't know what that means.
Let me think about that.
Nipple hard.
Oh.
Sure. Oh. Well, that's a dumb expression.
It's like a photo shoot all day in my
It is, yeah. Your hair is blowing
my
back.
My hair's blowing in the wind. I'm across the couch naked.
Why can't we find somebody to put a webcam in Lisa's apartment? Where are we failing so badly?
Well, and I'll
we never do manage to do that.
And
do
I'll
we?
Tell you why we're lame, because we know she's out of the house for 5 hours each day.
Yeah.
And when?
Wouldn't be that difficult to do. Producer Lightning, make it happen.
It's locked up like Fort Knox, my friend.
Wait a minute. You say that into the microphone like Lightning's going to hear that.
Well, one of our listeners will hear it.
Okay.
Call Big Boy Show. Tell them. They'll announce it on their air, and then Lightning hears it. That's okay. How we get word to him.
Okay, good.
So really hot? Is that what you're saying? Like, it couldn't be any hotter, Lisa?
Really,
like, you're going to die?
Couldn't be any hotter. I had to turn on the air. I've really, really resisted. I've really tried not to do that.
How
I take
come?
Fans.
Why do you fight it?
Well, because, I mean, I think I'm just trying to be conservative in terms of electricity and stuff. You know, to be environmentally conscious, if I can.
I use enough
and
to make
expensive.
Up for both of us, though, so don't worry about it.
That's why I feel the pressure to sweat in my house, because I work with you, Kevin.
Yeah.
So,
mine's set on 59 full-time.
Year round.
Even in the winter when it's cold, I turn on the air.
I'm not surprised. So, but when it gets to 80, and I don't even run it full time. I kick it on for an hour and then turn it off. But when it gets to 80, you got it. And the dogs are laying on their backs on the floor. You got to do something. It's just
sad. You got to poke them with a stick and make sure they're still moving, by the way.
Their tongues are hanging down. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's sad.
Prod them every once in a while. So I 80, turn on the air.
80 inside is, that's uncomfortable.
It's nothing compared to Mike's.
Yeah, mine's retarded hot.
He's got huge
so
windows
hot.
With the sun that comes in every day. He
I
does.
Do, but I have just like a wall. You don't have central air, and it gets so hot in San Gabriel Valley. But I have like I was telling Lisa, floor to ceiling windows that face towards right where the sun's setting
right. And
coming up right around 2 p.m. And so when it gets to be about 1 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's insufferable. Even if I have the air conditioner on. It still hits about 88.
You know what's really cool is they have. You probably haven't even heard about this yet. They have blinds.
Scorches right through them.
Oh.
It literally burns. And then I go to touch the blinds like in the middle of the day, and they're like hot to the touch.
We're gonna go to senior cooling centers.
What's wrong with both of you?
That's where we're going this weekend.
It's not that hard to
so
fix.
So we don't die.
I live a couple miles from my parents, and that's what I do. I just go to their
you go over there.
Yeah, and I sit in their pool like sick white trash.
You and Dave.
Yeah.
When you say the blinds, it scorches right through, I think they spontaneously combust from the heat coming through the window? Is that what you said? You can't keep curtains on that window because they will blow up? I mean, is that your point?
And then also the sexual electricity emitting from the inside of my apartment. It's like they can't take it. It just blasts everything out. The windows, a lot of times I have to replace them from the radiation.
While that's funny and all, blinds work.
I mean, they work.
Pretty
don't get
much.
Wrong. I keep
well, hang on here. Yep, 100% of the time.
Listen,
makes it better inside.
They should cool things down.
Yes.
I keep them closed, and it certainly helps compared to having them open.
Put another one on the outside
I'd
of the window.
I'd say it's like getting in your car on a hot summer's day, but it's my whole apartment. It fills with this hot air, and there's nothing I can do.
I work with retards. They're complaining. They're complaining about how hot it is, and yet they both have a means of doing it, and they just won't.
Well, I do. I do.
No,
if
we
I
do
have
means of doing it. We both clearly stated we don't want to keep our air conditioner on all day, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a solution, but we can't do
that. That's the only solution all day.
Certainly, to keep it under 80 in my apartment, the only thing I could do would be to keep that air conditioner.
What about
running
putting another thing on the outside of your window to block the sun?
What thing? What
you know, like a blind or whatever on the outside.
Well, if that was okay with my landlord, I'd do it in a second.
These are not difficult problems. This is like people saying, I don't know, I can't gain weight. I won't eat, but I cannot gain weight, no matter what
also,
I do.
It's also not destroying my life. I mean, it's like, oh, well, I just deal with that. It's part of living
no,
in Southern
California. We're just chatting about our day-to-day advance. We weren't complaining.
Well, I'm just saying.
Part of living in Southern California.
Yeah, I brought it up. It's not their fault.
Yeah.
It is. It was 74 in my house yesterday, and I just got a fan in every room. I mean, that's just all I can do is just keep the fans going.
But you don't have air, right? You don't have air.
I don't have air, right. Yeah. That's
but
right.
Honestly, most of the time, just having the fan blow on me is enough. It's fine. It's gotten to the point, since it's not cooling off at night, that it's getting hotter every day inside.
I soak myself in kibble before I go to bed, and my dogs just keep licking me.
Oh, dear God. That is not a visual.
I hadn't thought of that.
It keeps me cool. There's
oh,
cool
man.
Well, they're already used to licking the peanut butter off of you anyway, so
yeah,
it's not a big
areas.
Stretch. Yeah.
Luckily for me, I'm going to Palm Springs this weekend.
Oh!
What the hell is wrong with you?
Escape the heat.
What's it going to be there? 115?
Probably.
I have no idea. I haven't even looked.
Are
I
you don't... staying at a hotel?
No, I'm staying at a friend's house.
No.
With a big pool. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but they're gay, so they have good air.
Yeah, they have great air. It'll be great. Yeah. I'll be
cold.
It's
gay guys
that
like to sweat unless they're in the gym.
Exactly.
Well, you're both nuts. All right, 5:40. It's Kevin and Bean Show, Friday the 17th of... Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
All right. Seth Rogen is going to be calling us about Superbad.
Yeah. How about that?
I'm so excited about
Love
this
Love Seth. One of the writers of the movie, and he plays the cop in it. That looks fantastic. Can't wait for it. We're going to talk to him today. We have Frank Caliendo in the studio.
He's always funny.
He's the guy who does...
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay.
He's the guy that does our John Madden impression,
yep.
Which a lot of people mistake for actually being John Madden.
It is dead on.
Seth Gordon and Steve Wiebe. I can't wait to tell you about this movie.
It's fascinating.
King of Kong is the name of it.
Yeah.
And it is about the world record holders in the game of Donkey Kong. Now, what year did Donkey Kong come out? Was it 80s?
70s.
70?
It seems like 70s. Maybe I'm wrong, but a long, long time ago.
It's one of the original video games.
Yeah.
And it's that stupid ape that stands on top of the girders and he throws down barrels and balls of fire.
I've never understood that game.
Me either.
Yeah.
But this is a whole, it's one of those things where every once in a while you come across an entire world that you know nothing about. You didn't even know it existed, let alone to the detail of the referees and the whole system and how you set a record and what you have to do to go through it. It's insane.
Yeah. And people just spend basically their lives.
Yes.
Playing this stupid game.
Yes. It's not stupid to them, my friend. To them, it's life and death.
That one guy that's still married, I'm shocked.
Steve Wiebe, he's coming in today.
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him, but my God, could you be with someone who is playing that game 8 hours a day?
And she, you remember from the movie, she actually supports him wholeheartedly.
I know.
She so wants him to get his due, and
she's a good woman.
Never have I seen a movie where going into it, I was sure I was not going to like it.
You're going to be bored.
But yet by the end of the movie was by myself with arms cheering on the screen. I mean, it was just the weirdest movie, but so fascinating.
It's such a David and Goliath story.
It's
really
just insanity. The whole thing is insane, and we think you'll like it, so we're going to introduce you to that. We got Trapped in the Closet, R. Kelly, Chapter 16 today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Lord. Unbelievable.
Let's see. What else do we have? Chris Angel dating Britney Spears, apparently. Red carpet interviews for Superbad.
Oh, good.
Chinese recalling everything they ever put out. And K-Rock's LA Invasion. Home Depot Center. And tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon for that show.
Yeah.
And we have some more tickets to give you today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Take a quick break and come back with Elf Showbiz.
Story about a stripper mom.
Yes.
Who is trying to earn money to raise her terminally ill son.
Good.
Good times. Because of the role, according to producers, Jessica will be obligated to bare her ass and her boobs.
Well, all right now.
I'm torn. The movie's going to be a downer. The kid's going to be dying.
Right.
And she's going to be all raising money for him.
Selling her body.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll feel bad about the thoughts I'll be having as I'm watching that movie. But I'm still going to have
You'll
them
watch
nonetheless.
Through your tears.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Yes, I will. I love it when stars turn against each other. Leonardo DiCaprio and Nicolas Cage apparently got into a bitter battle recently.
About what?
It was at an auction in Beverly Hills. Both of the stars were determined to own a genuine dinosaur skull.
Oh my God.
That's a sign when you have too much money.
No
Seriously.
Doubt. If that is your biggest... I have to own a dinosaur skull for my home. It'll look great on the coffee table. Apparently, the two were bidding fast and furiously against each other, but the craziest man won, Nicolas Cage.
Sure.
Yeah.
Managed to outbid Leo at the end of the day. Nicholas is now the proud owner of a Tyrannosaurus Batar skull.
What'd he pay, does it say?
$276,000,
oh,
Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
$276,000 for a dinosaur skull. For that kind of money. Oh, never. I can't say that anymore.
No, you can't.
I say the skull should do something to you
could
for
run
that
my
kind of money.
Air conditioning for a really long time.
For like a day.
I don't even want to get started with you two and the air conditioning.
Yeah, right.
I'm just sweating.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not the 1812s, for God's sakes.
That's what I'm saying.
Just turn on the air.
He did.
And then the other one with
40 minutes.
The windows are too hot.
These are solvable problems.
Buy some blackout drapes. They have them. Go to Bed Bath & Beyond. They're called blackout drapes. You put them up. You pull them closed. The sun doesn't come in. Blacked out.
Yeah.
Blackout. Hence the name.
It's top-notch gay.
It is indeed. Hey, Jerry Springer's got another gig.
Another one? What does he need another one for?
He's got a job in England now. He's hosting a British game show for the Sky One network called Nothing But the Truth.
Nothing But the Truth.
Yeah. Why can't we have these cool shows here in America? Apparently, they hook you up to a lie detector test. And then the contestants are asked personal questions.
Like?
Have you ever cheated on your wife?
Oh, God.
As the questions get increasingly personal, the cash reward increases. So you can stop anytime you want, but the more you answer their probing questions, the more money you're eligible to win.
The more you tell the truth. What if they catch you lying? You get rid of the money?
I think they throw a switch and it's like an electric chair.
They kill you.
Yeah, they kill you right there. England is very progressive when it comes to their television.
That's cool.
They have actual murders and stuff. And who's the richest rapper in the business, do you think?
Richest rapper?
Of all the rappers, this is from Forbes.com. Talks about the rap industry and which rappers...
Jay-Z.
Are the richest. Lisa, well done.
That's a great guess, yeah.
I would have guessed Diddy, because he's got all those different lines of business going. Yeah. Even 50 Cent, I think, would have been a good guess. However, Lisa's right. Jay-Z, the richest rapper in the business. In 2006, how much money do you think he made in 2006?
Oh, this is so depressing.
I have no idea.
When you realize it's just for 1 year.
Yeah, just 2006. What do you think he
made? $20 million.
Ah, he laughs at your $20 million.
Really?
$30
million. $34 million.
In 1 year.
In 2006. Man. You know who's going to be the richest rapper next year?
Oh.
Spencer from the Hills.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard Heidi's new song, Heidi Montag?
Oh,
you guys,
yeah.
I didn't even know Heidi. Was she a singer?
No, Lisa, stop looking for logic.
I mean, I hadn't watched the show
until
this season.
It's like, is Paris Hilton
season?
A singer? You know, they just...
Okay.
It's just a vanity project. She's got a song coming out called Body Language.
Mm-hmm.
And he raps on it.
Yes, he does.
So you got bad singing and bad rapping.
Sweet.
All adds up to a damn good song. You want to hear a little piece of it?
Yes.
Chilling in the back of the club at night with Nick and Kim, the twin, yes, only right. But keep dancing, show me a step game. Go ahead, speed it up like you're in the left lane. Up in the jet plane, fuel about a mil mil. From Paris to Beverly Hills, we that ill. With my eyes on a sassy pearl, Heidi Montag, yeah, that's my girl.
Heidi Montag, yeah, that's my girl.
God.
How horrible is that? And if you listen really closely, underneath all the production, you can actually hear some human voices that may or may not be Heidi.
I don't think so.
It's god awful. Today's celebrity birthdays are in the other room on my desk.
But
so
they're good.
If you're really fascinated and you need to know who was born today, we'll come back in about an hour, and I'll give you the entire lineup of everybody who was born today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Psycho Mike was at the red carpet for Superbad.
Don't we have anyone else we can send?
I know.
Really?
Why would you?
It seems to be a huge error in judgment on our part that we keep sending him down to these red carpets to interview celebrities about himself.
You might be right, because every time I go down there, no matter how hard I try to talk about whatever project they're involved in, they always seem to bring it back to me.
Bring it back to you?
Yeah. I'm sure they do. You're just too distracting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's got to be rough.
Sorry.
Okay,
you're so good
first,
looking.
Ralph and I are going to tell you what you're going to hear, and then we're going to play it. Now, we haven't heard this.
Listen.
Have we heard this?
No, you haven't.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you right now.
Am I the best looking man on the red carpet?
Michael Cera, does it bother you I'm so much huger than you? Look how swole I am. Judd Apatow, couldn't you make a movie called A 40-Year-Old Buff Guy and make it about me in about 20 years when I'm huge and 40?
All right, Psycho Mike, what do you got for us?
I'm hurt.
I'm hurt.
I work hard for you guys, and this is the thanks I get.
You barely
All
work.
Right. So, Judd Apatow.
Yes.
Known mostly for his directing and writing, but he produced this movie.
Right.
So I decided to talk to him about the differences between the two jobs.
What's the big difference between taking the director role and the producer role?
I get to sit home and criticize as a producer. I get to just like not go to the set and call in and just say I'm unhappy with things. And then,
sign checks.
No, not sign checks. Get checks.
Sounds like a much better deal than actually having to take the pressure of directing.
No, because when I produce, if it comes out good, I can take all the credit. And if it comes out bad, I could say I had nothing to do with it.
Do you feel like you're taking Seth under your wing in the movie-making realm?
Not really. I'm trying to find a place under his wing at this point and see if I can burrow in there for a while.
Who do you see being the big, gigantic breakout star of Superbad?
Christopher Mintz-Plasse, Nick Levin. He's unstoppable. It's like Spicoli. He's going to do Falcon and the Snowman, Death Penalty movies, you name it.
Well, Mr. Apatow, you've had a long line of success in the comedy area. Are we ever going to see the super serious side I'm Judd Apatow.
No.
Good enough.
Brevity. Brevity, people. No.
Those are good questions.
McLovin, by the way, is my favorite character name.
He is the breakout star of that, by the way. But I can't help but think it doesn't make Jonah Hill and Michael Cera feel also good about that answer.
Who's
hey,
best?
What about us?
No, not us.
Well, can we break out too?
Speaking of Christopher Mintz-Plasse, the guy who plays McLovin, I talked to him next. And
Did you edit out the 15 questions you asked about yourself?
Yeah.
That was my hair.
That's what I thought.
Am I using too much product?
I talked to him next, and I love porn. You guys know that. I've made no secret about the fact that adult films have pretty much run my sex life.
Right.
So I'm trying to talk to this guy who I already know I've identified as the big breakout star of this movie.
Right.
And Stormy Daniels walks by. And okay. It just listen to how it just totally shifts
porn
everything.
Porn star right behind.
Yeah.
Right behind him.
Not.
Okay.
Did you have an ability to draw upon? You're standing right next to, by the way, porn star extraordinaire Stormy Daniels.
Nice. I think you have a better chance than I do, though.
No. After August 17th, when this movie's released, you're all over chicks like that.
Cool. That's cool. I'll do it. I'll deal with it.
You're gonna be raking through Beaver like you've never imagined.
I like how you put it in that terms.
Are you prepared to deal with the pressure of being a movie star?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's just stuff like this. I mean, really. And this is easy and fun.
From what I gather, you are one of the huge, big parts of the movie. You're an integral star. This is your moment. Soak it in.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Soak it in.
I'm glad you're giving the movie star advice on how to be a movie star, Mike. Good. He probably needs that from
and
you.
And I gave him authoritative hand gestures.
A low-level radio employee giving the movie star,
here, this is how you should do it. You should soak it in. You should enjoy this moment because I've been through it.
I made sure
how
he enjoyed
would he navigate
mind.
Those waters without you helping, man?
I don't know, dude. But look, I was there for him. Like I said, I did the authoritative hand gestures, and I was very condescending. And I made sure
good.
That he, yeah.
Good.
I thought that guy was acting in the movie, by the way. It doesn't sound like he was.
Oh, no. Not much of a stretch for him to play.
He's full-blown nerdy McLovin.
A dorky kid. Yeah. The lisp, the whole deal.
He may be a breakout star, but he may have a limited career.
As that character.
As that guy.
You did detour right to her immediately.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of, wow, Stormy Daniels
I mean, that wasn't edited either. That was like my first question. I had my whole list of things to ask. Well, Michael Cera is another star of the movie.
Yes. Right.
And
he was the kid that used to be on Arrested Development. Right.
And
so good.
Maybe the reason why Christopher Mintz-Plasse is getting all the attention is because Jonah and Michael Cera are not willing to talk to the lowly radio people. They just walk right by us.
Really?
And their publicists give us the big F-U.
Well, wow. That's a good choice.
Yeah. All the other journalists, so-called journalists, on the red carpet, they stand for that, not me.
They went up to Michael Cera and they said, hey, this guy's going to talk a lot about himself, so go ahead and walk right on by.
Just move on.
Well, I wanted to make sure
you
that
didn't
he
take
knew,
it lying down.
Yeah, he knew that I was not happy.
Michael!
We'll take care of it in post. I was hoping I could turn it into something, but
not
sorry,
so
guys.
You tried.
Did he look back once? Did you get his attention once?
No.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Well, Seth Rogen. Everybody loves Seth Rogen.
Sure, of
yeah,
course.
It's a small role in the movie.
We're going to talk to him later this morning.
But he also wrote this movie.
Co-wrote it.
And we'll talk to him later today. But I got a chance to talk to him on the red carpet. Now, have you adjusted to being a big, major movie star after Knocked Up?
I have a diamond ring now. It's nice. It's a good feeling.
Is there a different type of nervousness going into a movie that you wrote and you play a small role in as opposed to a movie where you're the star?
Yeah, I could fail on two fronts in this one as opposed to most movies where I can only fail on one, so that's scary.
This movie was looks like it was fun to make. I mean, was it?
It was fun to make. I mean, it's really filthy, so it's just fun to sit around and make dirty jokes all day, as most people can attest to, I think.
Well, congratulations on everything. Have a good time tonight.
Wow. That was almost an interview.
I'd like to, real questions.
I'd like to suggest that I take the raw tape and re-edit it.
That's a good idea.
And then we'll
see. So we
see.
Can hear what really happened?
Yes.
Do we know how badly he embarrassed us?
Because this is so not how it went.
You saw how it went when Michael Cera ignored me.
Yeah.
Well, Kristen Bell, she tried to do the same thing.
Kristen Bell's our pal.
We love her.
We love
She's
her.
Your pal.
She's Veronica Mars.
Well, yeah.
Is she in this movie?
She tried to big time on me, walk by without talking to us.
If we'd sent Dave the King of Mexico down there, we would have had a four-hour Veronica Mars interview.
Is she in the movie or she was just there to see it?
She's there. I don't know. Is she in the movie, Ralph?
No, she's not.
Okay, she's not in the movie. She's just there.
Okay.
Looking stunning, by the way. So I'm like, hey, we're supposed to be friends. Kevin and Bean Show. Woo, Dave King of Mexico, Clippers. Yeah. I'm sorry. Just big times me right away. So, I had to let her know.
Okay, my apologies.
That's fine. Clippers suck. Hey, Kristen Bell, Clippers suck. Dave the King of Mexico's
Yikes.
That's right. She knew not to step.
What is wrong with you? We don't Shut want the people, hell up. We don't want people down there yelling at the celebrities. Clippers suck!
I guarantee you no other media outlet was screaming at the top of the lungs of the red carpet that people sucked.
And there was probably an hour of editing and post for all of the other people down there who were trying to do interviews with people, and they're Clippers
yeah.
suck!
To get that out there was, the you could actually hear her, Kristen Bell's publicist there like, yikes. Ooh.
I think Pat O'Brien was screaming that at Kristen Bell when she walked by.
Maybe I'm
setting myself apart from the pack, okay? Maybe that's my niche.
In a bad way.
All right, last little interview here from the red carpet of Superbad was our friend Kevin Smith.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. So I had to talk to him about just wrecking that guy at Comic-Con.
Yes.
And then also subsequently we find out why Lisa is going to be fired.
I felt a little weird, a little bad about it, that it got out and whatnot. But at the end of the day, just don't attack the guy with the microphone. And the room. I had the room on my side, for heaven's sakes. That was kind of strange. Just pitching me the slowest softball of all time, and I've got like a machine gun to mow it down with.
Did you have something prepared just in case there were hecklers, or were you formulating that whole your mom's ass thing as you were going?
The moment he kind of, launched his opening salvo, immediately the mind was reeling, going like, all right, what do I go with? And I decided to go with the classic mother joke. And then it just kept building from there, because he kind of stayed. He lingered.
Congratulations on putting in work on that breezy. We love you at the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for talking to me, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, sir. I'll be back as soon as I've got something to whore. I'll totally be.
You don't need something to whore. Just come in.
Don't tell me that, dude. Open invite. I will show up every day. I will just start doing the traffic and like that. You know me.
Fantastic.
Sorry, Lisa.
See you,
Lisa.
Hey. See you, Lisa.
Sorry. Is my job?
So long.
Kevin Smith.
Maybe the question you should ask yourself,
no,
Lisa.
No, here's the problem. People think it's easy.
Yeah.
They
don't know.
They have no idea
the skill
involved.
All those freeways, they're
None.
All
Can you imagine
everywhere.
Kevin?
It's
no
like a
idea.
Big
you yeah, you
pit
it.
Of
you
snakes.
Don't know.
Smith, the traffic guy. Can you imagine that
you
by
don't
us?
Know.
We got a Siglert in the right lane. Speaking of the right lane, Diane
You're in
lane.
Trouble if you're on the 405, sir.
I saw a flick about that once. Well done, Mike. Do we need to contact all of the publicists and just make sure everything's cool
we
still?
Just apologize to anyone? Who do we owe apologies to?
I did my PR tour after the red carpet to,
you
to make my apologies.
You edited out all the bad stuff, so do we need to follow that up in any way?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. We'll talk yeah. afterwards.
I was getting Seth Rogen a diet plan. I know we have someone to apologize to.
You know, the first thing I thought when I heard the latest Chinese recall, and everything has been recalled, you know, everything from Easy Bake Ovens to meat to dog food, I mean, everything coming out of China these days seems to be damaged or defective in some way, is didn't we used to make some of this stuff in America? I mean, wasn't there a time where there was, I don't know, one company that was making a toy?
You would think. They say that 80% of the world's toys are made in China. 80%.
Well, they make them so much cheaper.
Yeah, they make
My
them
God.
Slaves, so what
yeah.
the hell? But but there has been a lot of recalling going on. And the guy, was it the guy with the dog food that got put to death by the government?
He was the head of their FDA, right, Bean?
Right, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And he was involved with the dog food.
And they
Absolutely.
Put him to death within like a day of the recall. Here it takes like 17 years. You got to go back to the Supreme Court. You got to go to the governor. You got to try everything. There, you're out.
Yep.
Yep. You got about a week from the time you screw up to the time they hang you. I mean, that's how it works in China. They're very efficient. But we thought we'd talk to somebody over there and find out what the heck is going on. Do we have any idea who's on the line?
We have the Chinese export minister.
That's oh, fantastic.
That's what I'm being told. Hello.
Hello. How you doing, Round Dyke?
Hi, sir. What is your name?
My name is Dang Li Wang.
Dang Li Wang.
Dang Li Wang.
Okay.
All right. Well, Mr. Wang, you've heard our discussion while you were on hold. How do you explain so many recalls coming out of your country lately?
Oh, we're so very sorry.
You're sorry?
Yes. Sorry we send you bad crap. We try
well,
to do better.
It seems like a lot of it is bad, from kids' toys to dog food. Now
yeah,
there's
oh, that'd be a shame if the United States came crumbling down due to things we sent you. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
I see
that very sad.
But how do you try, I mean, how do you bring a country down by tainting the toothpaste? I mean, how is that part of your strategy?
God, you know what happened? You stop brushing teeth, then you stinky breath, then no one want to kiss or have sex, and then you die out.
Oh, well, I got you.
Populations
okay.
die out.
That's a long-term plan.
That is
you
a long-range
yeah.
plan.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's just stage one.
Now, why, if that's the case then, why did the head of your FDA not get a raise instead of getting put to death?
Because he didn't kill enough dogs.
Oh, I see.
He fell short of his quota.
Okay, so that's stage one.
That's the stage one.
Okay. What about the preschool?
Actually, no, stage one was when we sent Connie Chung over there to host Big Brother.
Is that right?
We probably destroy your television.
Okay, Connie Chung.
That was stage one, Connie Chung.
Connie Chung doesn't host Big Brother. That's Julie Chen. Do they look alike to you two?
Oh, who's Connie Chung there?
she's the one who married to Maury Povich. She used to be news anchor.
All right, stage one was Connie Chung marrying Maury Povich.
Okay.
Stage two was Julie Chen hosting Big Brother.
Okay.
Stage three, kill all your dogs.
All right.
Okay.
Stage four, make your toothpaste crap.
Okay. I see. Okay. Now, some of the stuff, it makes sense. I mean, you know, you send us bad tires. Well, yeah, you get out on the road of bad tires, you're going to have an accident. But, I mean, what about, like, the Easy Bake Oven? I mean, that one really hurts. Why would you want to hurt little American girls who are just trying to make something in the Easy Bake?
If little American girls grow up to be big American women.
Right. Yeah.
Who have American babies with ugly round eyes.
There we go. There it is again. Okay.
Once again, we snuff you out at the source.
Now, what happened with the toy manufacturer Leader Industrial Company? That guy, the owner, killed himself.
Yeah.
Because of a recall.
Again. Shame, not killing enough children.
Oh, I see.
He lost faith.
He was working for the company that was making the toys for Fisher-Price that had been recalled just recently.
So I've taken over that whole division now.
Oh, you're in charge of it.
It's
you.
I'm in charge of all the Nickelodeon Sesame Street character toys, and I will not fail.
Okay.
Please look forward to coming to stores just in time for Christmas. SpongeBob nitroglycerin pants.
Now that sounds bad.
Now, Dang Lee.
Boom, I said.
All right.
Boom.
So boom is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Then I send you Choke Me Elmo. Where Elmo actually choke a little child.
Now, are these things named that, or are they just that's what they are in reality?
Oddly enough, they're actually named
that. They're named that.
Wow. And you're still
who's
going to
buy
them?
That's weird.
Maybe you buy Big Bird Flu.
Big Bird Flu.
It's a big bird toy that is coated with bird flu virus.
Wow. That sounds very dangerous. I don't want that in my home, I'll tell you that.
And make sure for little girls you buy Dora the Exploder.
That's one of the ones that was recalled.
I know. This one's going to be better.
Okay.
Before you can recall it, it's going to blow up on you.
Wow. I'm getting increasingly nervous about the Olympics next year after this conversation. I got to be honest.
Stage six. We're going to have Ryan Seacrest host the Super Bowl.
No, that's
too much.
Wait a minute. You're behind that?
We are evil Chinese Empire.
Oh, my God. That's
our listeners this week have been alternately hypnotized and horrified by the Trapped in the Closet chapters.
Yeah.
And we got another one for you today coming up in about half an hour or so from right now. Ralph is going to walk us through Trapped in the Closet chapter 16. That's coming up. How many are there going to be? 22?
Yeah, I think there's another 12, so 24, I think, total.
Wow. Right? That's going to be a long fall. Anyway, so that's coming up in about a half hour. Also, the star and director of King of Kong, a great new movie about the world championship of Donkey Kong in the 7 o'clock hour straight ahead, too.
You probably didn't know that existed, but it does, and it's strong, my friends. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day, if you want to leave us a message on any topic, including yesterday's visit from Joe Rogan. Who was telling us that man did not land on the moon, ever. It was all faked.
Yep.
Things got a little heated.
I just wanted to let Joe Rogan know that I believe UFC is fake. They totally faked the whole thing. You can see from the photographic evidence that there's no way that that's real.
See what he did?
Yep.
Because Joe's on the UFC broadcast, and he's really part of the conspiracy and the cover-up.
I got into it a little bit with Joe and started yelling back and forth. I'd like to point out, though, that he was yelling equally as much or more than me.
I agree. Yeah. I had your back. You were right.
And so that's what this listener is talking about. He's got a solution to the whole thing.
Four words. Ryder, Rogan, drunk boxing. Make it happen.
Yeah, that's a good plan. He's a black belt and a four-time like champion in jiu-jitsu.
You can take him, man.
And I used to take kickboxing once. That's pretty much the same thing, right?
Sure.
How long would that steel cage death match last with you and Rogan in the octagon?
It depends on how long he waited. I mean, you know, he could come out in 2 seconds and just take me out.
Or he could toy with you like a lion play with its food.
Yeah, exactly. We got a different music bed here.
Guys, this is Ryan Seacrest. Oh, my gosh, I can't wait to host the Super Bowl on Fox. It's going to be super.
Great.
For folks who did not hear that announcement, apparently Fox has the Super Bowl this year, and they're going to use Ryan in the pregame and the half game. Like, we need a host, A, and B, like Ryan Seacrest is anywhere on the list of the top 100,000 people they should be considering for that job.
Like he's ever watched football. Come on.
I saw an ugly, ugly fact, apparently, on TMZ.com yesterday that Ryan Seacrest played football in high school.
Yeah. That's funny.
On a team that won a championship.
Right, sure.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's what it said.
People seem to get frustrated a lot in traffic here. You do spend a lot of your time in traffic, and when boneheads slow everything down, it is rather frustrating.
The trifecta, old Asian woman on a cell phone going 45 on the freaking freeway.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Unfortunately, yeah. One of our listeners is a teacher, Bean, and would like your advice on a certain topic.
Bean. Okay. This is Mike from Riverside. I'm putting together my classroom curriculum for the year and hanging my planets on the wall. Unfortunately, I don't know what to do with my Pluto planet. So I decided to hang it far off to the right and mark it optional.
That's a better solution than taking it off the wall, I guess.
You can take it off the wall. It's no longer a planet. No. Throw it away.
Don't mislead those children.
Just throw it
technically,
away.
Technically, it's a dwarf planet, so it is still a planet.
Does he have dwarf planets on his little curriculum? No.
Nope.
I think the obvious solution, as Kevin will remind you, is you should put Pluto in Uranus.
Yes, exactly. I was not aware of this fact.
Hey, guys, in the event you didn't know, according to AdamandEve.com, August is anal sex month. I'm just saying.
The whole month?
The whole month of August.
Wow. And he didn't tell us until the 16th?
Well,
what the hell?
And we thought you would let us know, being the butthole month
and
all that.
That's usually in March. I didn't. This is new.
I never heard about that.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Lisa has been wearing a lot of white pants lately.
Bean, do you have chocolate rain?
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
This is a YouTube sensation on the internet, Tay Zonde, with a song that is hypnotic. I mean, you hear it once, you can't forget it. And he's a big star now. Over 4 million people have already watched the song.
So we had our intern, Shaolin Robot, record a version, and we put a video up at krock.com, Kevin and Bean video page.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this listener is stuck on it. He can't get it off.
How come I can't stop watching the stupid Shaolin Rain video? Are you kidding me with this thing? Ever since you guys put this thing on, I've been watching it like nonstop until like right now. I've been calling in sick for work pretty much every day. I haven't been to work in over a week. I've never been so fixated and obsessed with something in my life. I cannot stop watching this thing. Freaking Shaolin Robot, I love you. Will you marry me? I freaking love you.
Shaolin Rain. Computer chips are what's inside my brain. Shaolin Rain. I eat dog and drive like I'm insane. Shaolin Rain. Please update the code in my hard drive. Shaolin Rain. I dumpster dive in order to survive. Cafe Yu. DJ Tang will churn go. Cafe Yu.
I got to tell you, in all honesty, once a day is enough for me.
you know what I think it is, though, that that captures people's imagination is robots have come so far now.
That's true.
At that video, it's almost like, I mean, she's so lifelike now. It's hard to believe she's a robot.
She almost looks like a human. That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz, Bing 2, the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. 106.7 KROQ.
Are you a pit bull or are you Surge? What are you doing there, Ralph?
Same thing.
Both. It is Friday morning, 6:54. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
For those of you who are keeping track, it is 3 days, 15 hours, 8 minutes, and 42 seconds until Hayden Panettiere is legal.
We have a party on Monday?
To legality. I think we should have a party on Monday.
All right.
We should play just clips of heroes and just say all the things that have been in our minds now for the past 2 years.
She doesn't seem like the kind of starlet who is now going to go off the rails because she's 18. She seems pretty well-grounded.
No, apparently her mom and dad are salt-of-the-earth kind of people. Her kid brother, who's also an actor, has got his head on straight, too. So the whole family seems to be pretty well-adjusted.
That's too bad.
Her mom, by the way. Hayden Panettiere's mom, Leslie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Dag.
Really?
Dag, son.
Dag is dating her?
Who pulled the plug last time? Can we pull that same plug? Finally, we can snip that wire.
Sorry, Ralph, I'm back.
Uncle Cracker's in jail. Remember Uncle Cracker?
Sure.
Isn't that a
Follow
band?
Me.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is all right.
Why is he in jail?
Forcible sex.
Ooh.
Turns out some women don't like to be forced to have sex with you.
So well, especially what are they going to say?
Especially when you're fat Uncle Cracker.
So yeah, you'd say everything's not all right then. In contrast to that song.
See what you've done there?
I haven't heard that name in 15 years.
He used to be DJ, Kid Rock's DJ.
He did?
Yeah, that's where he got his big break.
I didn't know that.
He used to be work with Kid Rock, and then he spun off and got his own record deal, and that song was a smash hit.
He has, in the last couple of years, been more on country radio than on pop radio. Been on a couple
of Kid Rock, a couple of hit country songs.
Didn't he do that Give Me the Beat, Boys, and Free My Soul?
He did that too. Yeah.
The cover of that? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was down in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he was arrested and booked on second-degree forcible sex offense.
That doesn't sound good.
Apparently, police were called to the Embassy Suites Hotel where he was staying at around 4:45 in the morning, and they popped him.
Yeah.
He's being held on $5 million bond.
Wow.
Wow.
Because the judge said, look, guy's got money. He's got all the capability for flight risk that you could ask for.
How much money does Uncle Cracker have?
Well, he's got enough to be able to take off if he wants to, I'm sure. You know.
Yes.
So you have to be careful of those flight risks, especially when, you know, Kid Rock's got a chopper waiting for you in the exercise yard.
It's true.
To bust you out of jail. Let's talk about rehab and the failure thereof, shall we? Bam Margera checked himself out of rehab in Arizona just after a couple days of going in last month.
Just a touch-up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Bam was reportedly forced to go in by his wife, Missy. And according to In Touch magazine, their six-month marriage is now on the rocks.
Not surprising.
It's not surprising, but we like Bam.
Absolutely.
But it's not surprising.
But he also is under the curse of doing a show, a reality show.
Do a reality show on MTV, you're cursed.
But she's a fool for marrying that guy.
Oh, totally.
Well, certainly it shouldn't be a surprise that he drinks a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Bam's pill-taking and drinking became too much for her, says one friend. Missy really wants him to stop and is fed up. She's giving him an ultimatum. Get clean or she's leaving. So, apparently he's taking a lot of Adderall these days.
The end is near.
There's no way to tell a guy in Jackass is going to live a partying lifestyle, Ralph.
That's true.
You can't see that
coming. She was blinded by love. Another failed rehab experiment, Amy Winehouse. I mentioned earlier in the week, she and her husband checked themselves into rehab after being confronted by their saddened and angry families, and they decided to get themselves clean.
Was that yesterday?
It may have been yesterday. Here's the update. Amy Winehouse and her husband have checked out of rehab after one day.
Buzzkill!
Oh, my God.
Family members expected them to put in 6 to 8 weeks in the joint to get sober, however, it just wasn't for them.
They didn't find it to their liking?
Look, when your name's Winehouse, you expect to go into any facility and find some sort of alcohol, I believe, and she was sadly disappointed. So
it could just be really fast learners, like they're speed readers. They got the 6 weeks in a day.
It's possible.
They crammed.
Have you heard the latest song by Heidi Montag from The Hills?
What?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah. Apparently, they're furious that this song has been leaked.
Who is? Heidi?
Really?
Heidi and Spencer, who raps on this song.
Well, they should be lucky that it got leaked.
Well, their contention is that it's not actually the single from her upcoming CD. That it was just them goofing around in the studio. It was always meant to be a joke. And by the way, mission accomplished there, kids.
Yeah.
This song is a joke.
You did that well.
And they're furious that people are taking it seriously. It's not at all meant to be seriously. Just them expressing themselves in a playful way in the studio.
There's a hell of a lot of production on that song for them to just be
goof.
Playing around.
True. I agree.
What kind of radio DJ would play a song like this?
An allegedly gay douchebag.
as a matter of fact, I think you're right.
The douchebag part, not alleged, by the way. Just the allegedly gay part.
Yeah.
You want to hear a little taste of this is Spencer rapping on Heidi Montag's singing Body Language.
The club tonight with Nick and Kim, the twin, yes, only right. But keep dancing, show me a step game. Go ahead, speed it up like you're in the left lane. Up in the jet plane, fuel about a mil. From Paris to Beverly Hills, we that ill. With my eyes on a sassy girl, Heidi Montag, yeah, that's my girl.
Yeah, that's my girl.
Heidi Montag, yeah, that's my girl.
I think a good tip for aspiring musicians is if you need a rap on your song, get a black guy to do it.
That is a good tip.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're Eminem, that's pretty much
it.
Hey, Ralph Garman, wasn't that the exact same press release that KFED gave after Popo's Owl's League?
That was just a joke. That was a huge mistake, too. Yeah, that was not an actual track.
That wasn't going to be a song.
He didn't put it on his top-selling album, that's for sure.
He didn't have a top-selling album.
Oh, that's right. He sold 5,000 copies. Right.
The only song that people knew, by the way, he did not put on the album.
Yeah. She makes Paris Hilton sound like Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
In terms of her vocal talent. There's so much overdubbing and production on that, you can hardly tell it's a human singing.
Yeah.
That could be Shaolin Robot for all we know. Singing that out. Anyway, it's horrible. Please enjoy. And here's your creepy story of the day. This should creep you out. Mary-Kate Olsen is getting back into acting.
Okay.
Apparently she's bored with standing on the red carpet, making big eyes and not smiling with her sister.
That is all they've been doing for quite some time.
They just give you that look like
the evil eye.
Two lemurs being caught by a flashlight in the woods or something, just hanging off a tree. They just give you those giant, giant wide-open eyes with the huge pupils. Mary-Kate Olsen, stretching herself as an actress, will be performing with Ben Kingsley in a new movie called The Wackiness. Oh, I forgot to mention, they've got a love scene.
Yes.
What?
God almighty.
They make out in the movie.
Ben Kingsley?
63-year-old Ben Kingsley and 21-year-old Mary-Kate Olsen.
I don't care if she's 21. That's like child abuse. She looks like a 10-year-old.
It's lemur abuse is what it is.
It is lemur abuse.
She's going to get those big eyes and just freeze like she's caught in the spotlight.
That's so gross.
Yeah, it's way gross. Just thought I'd leave you with something a little something to think about.
That's ugly.
A little food for thought. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert De Niro. Happy birthday,
how about
Bobby.
That?
64 years old today, Robert De Niro is.
Doesn't it seem like he's been 64 since you were born?
No, he always struck me as a young, vital guy. Because I remember from Godfather 2, his young Vito and stuff like that. That's the De Niro I grew up with.
Kevin doesn't remember that.
Cape Fear was like kicking some ass. He's doing those push-ups and stuff in that cell.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Cape Fear. I forgot about that.
He was always sort of an intimidating dude. Taxi driver?
Taxi driver.
Yeah, with that freaky mohawk.
All right, I take it back. I withdraw.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Robert. You wishing happy birthday to me? You wishing happy birthday to me? I don't see anyone else around here. You must be wishing happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me? You saying happy birthday to me? Saying happy birthday to me? Are you wishing happy birthday to me?
Do you want an answer?
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Taxi Driver's out on a new double disc DVD that's supposed to be amazing with lots of like cool behind the scenes stuff and interviews and whatnot. And I know.
I just can't keep up.
Just in the nick of time. Yeah, you got to buy like five versions of each movie.
I know. They get better and better and better too. The versions. It's a bitch.
And I guess he ad libbed that you talking to me scene in that movie too, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Scorsese. There's a classic moment in another film Scorsese loves where the character is addressing himself in the mirror. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he wanted to recreate that. So he said, I want a scene where the character of Travis Bickle looks in the mirror and addresses himself and deals with what he sees.
Right.
And so he just put De Niro in front of a mirror and said, just do it.
Just go.
Do whatever you think. Yeah. So that classic
moment
was improvised. Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's, 49 years old today. How could she be 49? Sean Penn.
All right!
Sean Penn, the actor, 47 years old today. Spicoli's 47.
Yeah, yeah.
Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses, 45 years old today. And Donnie Wahlberg, new kids on the block, and brother of the other more successful Wahlberg.
Isn't he the guy in Kill Point?
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah,
really good in that.
With Leguizamo,
yeah,
right?
Really good in that.
Saw movies, too.
He is 38 years old today, so happy birthday, Donnie. You wishing happy birthday to me?
That's not Donnie Wahlberg? That's not Donnie Wahlberg.
I don't see anyone else around here. It must be me, Donnie Wahlberg. You wishing happy birthday to me?
That's not
Donnie Wahlberg?
That's not him.
Wishing birthday to me?
That isn't him.
Rob Gorman, I walk the show.
A lot of show, but really this is the centerpiece. This is really what we're hanging our reputation on is this next 5 minutes. Because Ralph is back, ladies and gentlemen, with chapter 16 of R. Kelly's masterpiece, Trapped in the Closet.
Yes.
Come on.
For those of you fans of the original first 12 chapters of Trapped in the Closet, you really... like me, were preparing for disappointment. Thing, it couldn't get any better than that.
Right, of course.
How could he top the amazing work he did in the previous 12 chapters? And I think so far we've been proven wrong because he has come back strong as ever. The characters are just vibrant. The story is alive. It's happening. And if you remember so far, we've dealt with Sylvester and Twan. Sylvester went to meet Kathy, the girl he was having the affair with originally when he was indeed trapped in the closet, caught by her husband Rufus, who was having the gay affair. Twan is his brother-in-law,
who is on the search for Tina and Roxanne, who he believes set him up for the 3 years he did inside the state penitentiary. He finds Tina, as she happens to be the waitress for Sylvester and Kathy in the restaurant where they're chatting.
I like how that just seems to happen a lot.
Life is filled with coincidences, Kevin. He storms in, and Sylvester and Tuan have been confronting Roxanne and Tina regarding their roles in Tuan going to prison. And in the end of the last chapter, Tina drops the bomb that she was pregnant with Tuan's child when the cops caught them running drugs in Atlanta.
So now what does he do?
So as we pick up here, Sylvester is comforting his good friend regarding the news, that the shocking news that he is the father of a baby.
I see. Sylvester looks up at Tuan and says, congratulations, man. It looks like you done went and had yourself a little tea.
Yeah, nice. Way to be there for your buddy who's just had a bomb dropped on him. Yeah,
congratulations.
Hey, you got a little tea. Tuan still doesn't believe, though. He's not buying into this whole he was the baby daddy thing. He thinks something's up.
Tuan says, no. This girl is tripping, G. Tina says, tripping. Roxanne says, then Tuan says, girl.
Yep. Wait, what did Roxanne say? Not a lot of conversation going on there, is there?
No, not much information is given to us in that particular segment. But Tuan continues to inquire of Tina as to the veracity of her claim. And this results in a physical reaction in Tina that everyone can't help but notice.
Tell me, how do you know that that baby belonged to me? Then out of nowhere, Tina's eyes start blinking real fast and she says to Tuan, how do I know, Tuan? Sylvester says, are you okay? How do I know? Then Roxanne says, girl, I told you his ass was going to deny this shit when he saw you. Let's go.
Yeah, you have to see Tina's twitch to really believe it. You have to watch the video.
Her eyes start...
She starts twitching like, like a character in a 1940s melodrama.
Speaking of watching the video, it's so visual that you have to go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, the video page.
Especially it's the actress there. Who is playing Tina and she starts to blink and flinch. It's very, very entertaining. Sadly, though, communication starts to break down amongst the four of them and nothing gets solved really here.
Sylvester says, wait a minute. Tuan says, bye. Sylvester says, Tuan, she'd see you. They both paused, turned around. Tina looked at Tuan and says, in court, motherfucker. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Yeah, see ya. But in court, Mother Effer, I wouldn't want to be ya.
Wow.
You know why? Because she's coming after him for child support.
Of course.
Yeah.
And who's more reliable for child support than a drug dealer on the lam, by the
way? Tuan, he's the man.
Yeah. Ruff, let me ask you this. Refresh my memory for a moment. At the end of chapter 15, didn't somebody have a gun on somebody? Where's that whole drama?
That was at the beginning of yesterday's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a gun? Gun's gone,
there were guns
right?
in the bottle and everything.
In the bottle and the skillet, but those have all been put down since the conversation we discovered that Tina, once they talked about what happened when they were pulled over by the cops in Georgia and how they were all grilled by the cops, and then Roxanne revealed
everybody's
that she was the one who gave up Tuan and Tina didn't because she was pregnant.
That's a tense meal.
Well, things get worse before they get better because... you know, as I said, she is threatening him with child support, and Tuan doesn't take kindly to that.
Ladies, please, wait a minute, don't go yet. Tuan say they need to learn some respect. I say, Tuan, he says, holla. Roxanne say, she gonna holla at that child support check.
Yeah, still threatening him with that money, holla.
He's gonna holla at the check?
Yes.
All right, then.
Now, Sylvester, always the voice of reason, I found in this...
Sure.
In this epic, tries to reopen the lines of communication between Tina and Tuan.
That's what he's about.
Sylvester saying nobody going nowhere. Now y'all resolved it so we could put this shit in the past. Roxanne say cool, we'll talk to you, but we ain't got shit to say to his old Shrek-looking ass.
Yeah. We have nothing to say to his Shrek-looking ass. Now Tuan, feeling insulted here, responds with a rejoinder of his own to Roxanne. He gives it back in kind what she gave to him.
Man, who this fever blister looking bitch thinks she talking to? T. She says, you motherfucker.
Yeah. Who's this fever blister looking bitch talking to?
That doesn't even mean anything.
Doesn't. It's cruel.
But it sounds bad.
Unfortunately, Tina's physical manifestation of her frustration starts to worsen.
Uh-oh.
And we can't help but notice as she blinks her way into oblivion.
Tina starts to blink her eye again, but this time even faster than before. And then she cries out real loud and says, I can't take this no more.
She's blinking and twitching. It doesn't look good for anyone. Sylvester can't help but notice her enormous twitch, and he has to inquire as to the source of Tina's affliction. How did she come by this?
That's the axe rock saying, what's wrong with your girl's eye? It's like it keep flinching. She said a year ago a pimp hit her in her eye, and ever since then she's got this nervous condition.
Yeah, a pimp hit her.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know that.
Not
why
happened.
Does that even have to be a part of it?
It doesn't. It's full of useless details. Well,
oh, dear God.
In the midst of all this, in the midst of Tina flinching and twitching and Sylvester going off, Tuan starts to consider the possibility, what if it is, what if he is the baby's father? What does this mean to his life and his future?
Then Tuan stopped walking around saying, man, I don't know, I'm feeling kind of strange. And Sylvester says, Gwen told me, dog, that you was thinking about making a change.
Yeah, maybe this is a time for him to make a change in his life.
Oh, this is all turning out positively.
Use this baby as a catalyst for change, positive change in his life.
I like it. That's what R. Kelly's about, is change in life.
Now, when Tuan's in the middle of this revelation, Roxanne tries to end the conversation. She tries to close the restaurant that she owns along with Tina and throw them out. Right in the middle of this big revelation for Tuan. And Sylvester attempts to convince her otherwise with a gun.
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Roxanne, yell out, I gotta lock this place up, and y'all two got to go. Sylvester say, what time do this place close? She says, 80 points is gone, and says, well, act like it's a quarter to four.
Yeah, we close at 8. Well, act like it's quarter to four, bitch. And just points a gun right at her head. And she does. She acts like it's quarter to four.
All right, then.
Now, Sylvester encourages Tuan to engage in a meaningful discourse with Tina regarding the possibility of uniting this family unit.
That's what they're good at in this story.
Then he says, talk to the girl, Tuan, it might be what you need. Tuan says, a family man. Sylvester said, man, that's exactly my point. This shit will settle you down.
Yeah, I think you should encourage the lifelong criminals in the world to embrace their illegitimate children and settle down, because that usually takes. They usually become upstanding family men. Right,
usually works well, doesn't it?
Well, Tuan, in the final attempt to try to reconcile with Tina, maybe to work things out, does extend an olive branch, only to witness a surprising response from both Tina and Roxanne.
Tuan, give me five and then says, f*** it, yo. Then he steps to Tina and says, Tina, you wanna work this out? Then Roxanne tongue kissed Tina dead in her mouth and said to Tuan, I'm f***ing her now.
Wait a minute. Roxanne and Tina are deeply, deeply involved in a lesbian relationship.
Of course they are.
Well, how could I not see that coming?
Wow.
I'm effing her now. Not you. You
with
Shrek,
what, by
you
the way?
Shrek looking ass.
That's brilliant.
On Monday, we'll see more about the lesbian relationship between Twitchy and the other one.
Fever blistering.
Fever blister looking bitch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after 7 o'clock. And I got to tell you, we had Kevin Smith on, the director Kevin Smith, and he was telling us about a movie that we'd never heard of that was his favorite movie this year. And it was called King of Kong. And he described that this entire movie that you guys made, told us it was the best movie he'd seen this year, and we were obsessed with it from that point on. And then he sent it to us, and then we watched copies of it. Ralph, you've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bean's seen
several
it.
Times.
I've seen it.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Mike's seen it. Lisa's seen it. We've all seen it. It's absurd.
Think about all the box office we've taken away from your film just in this room from people who've already seen it before.
That's why we have to make up for it. Insist everyone listening to our voice goes to see it at the New Art this weekend.
Let me introduce who's in the K-Rock studios with us this morning. First of all, Ed Cunningham, producer of the movie. Hey, Ed, you're the guy with the money, so we'll be nice to you. How are you?
Thank you very much.
Also, I think Seth Gordon is here. You are the director of the film King of Kongs.
Thanks.
And ladies and gentlemen, the guy I'm proudest to meet of anyone in 2007, Steve Wiebe, has joined us
today. Our hero.
Good morning. Who is our hero. It is the best goddamn Donkey Kong player in the world, as far as I'm concerned. So nice to have all you guys here at K-Rock this morning. We appreciate it.
Every once in a while, something like this comes along where it's an entire world that we did not have any idea existed out there.
Yeah, it's amazing that it is a world that, if you just heard about it, the world of gamers who were going for world records, that you might not think you would care so much about that. You would dismiss them as a bunch of, you know, geeks or whatever. But when you enter into that world, you start to care so passionately about these people, and you're so emotionally connected to the story. It is a remarkable film in that department.
Now, what year did Donkey Kong come out originally?
1981.
81,
released by Nintendo.
And considered by still today to be one of the hardest games, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the cool things that we found. Because we looked at a bunch of different stories in this world around Ms. Pac-Man, but the thing that was great was not only are Steve and Billy Mitchell, who is his antagonist in the movie.
He's the Darth Vader of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. In the remake, Steve wants to be played by Mark Hamill. But what was great was not only is it the hardest game, but these two guys had ascended to a level that even other top gamers. There's this guy, Donald Hayes, up in New Hampshire, who's mastered like 10 classic games. He gave up on Donkey Kong.
Really?
He mastered Dig Dug, Pac-Man, all these great games, and he just like, I can't do it. It's too hard.
When you talk about mastering, you're talking about close to a million points on these games, right?
Yeah, the average Donkey Kong game doesn't last a minute. People get about 1,000 points. Steve and Billy play at the million-point range.
And those of you that haven't seen this game, it is the one with the giant ape. Is it an ape? Gorilla?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever?
Yeah, Donkey Kong.
At the top of a bunch of girders, and for some reason, you're a plumber of some kind. I don't understand.
You have to climb ladders. As a girlfriend.
Yep. You have to climb ladders and rescue the princess, and every time you get to the top level, the gorilla takes the princess away, and you got to keep going.
Till you get to the kill screen.
Yes.
Yeah. Steve, when did you first play Donkey Kong?
Well, 1981. When it came out.
Yeah. Obsessed with it then, or was it just a passing fancy for you at the time?
No, I was playing Pac-Man before that, and that was my fixation. Then when Donkey Kong came out, this buzz about this game called Donkey Kong, when I played that, then I pretty much abandoned Pac-Man because I just loved the concept and the graphics of Donkey Kong.
Right.
And did you play it at a high level from that time in 1981 all the way through and continuing to today? Was there ever a time where you walked away from it for a number of months or years?
Yeah, I've been playing it since then, but not consistently. There was when it first came out, I couldn't get past the third elevators. I was like everybody's brick wall. You'd get there on your first Mario and you would just die four times.
Right.
And then that was frustrating. Yeah. Once in a while, you might get lucky.
The rest of us walk away and do something else with our lives.
Yeah.
Not Steve.
No, I was dead set on mastering this. And then in 1990, I went when I was in college, I got a machine to put in my fraternity room.
Nice.
And that's when I mastered it because, you know, I'm not feeding quarters. I just could just concentrate
on it. Oh,
yeah.
Continue playing
play
without
it over
costing
and over.
Anything,
yeah.
Right? And then
how'd you do in school?
I did all right, actually. I was used to there's parties always going on in the fraternity. I was a mechanical engineering degree major, so I would be in my room. I'd be studying, and I'd break away and play Donkey Kong for a little bit. It's kind of like my little party in there.
That's a hell of a party. You know how to get down, Steve. Yeah. So in 2003, you lost your job. Is that right, with Boeing?
There was a couple jobs. Yeah,
oh, a couple of them. Okay.
Yeah, 1999. I lost at Boeing. Then that's when I bought the machine again because I had got to this kill screen back when I was in college. I had sold the machine, and then I picked it up 10 years later. I was looking at online for the and Twin Galaxies said Donkey Kong Records was 874,300. And then I bought another machine.
Uh-huh. You said, I have no job. I might as well take a shot at
hey,
this.
Yeah, hey, what
I
do
got
think?
Free time on my hands.
I asked my wife, and she said, go for it, man.
What a nice wife you
did
have,
she
too.
Really?
She said,
did
worry.
She really?
No.
Steve sort of skipped over an important detail, or glossed over it, let's say. He discovered in college the kill screen.
Yeah, which is weird.
Right.
Which is the end of the game.
Explain.
The end of the
got
game,
that far?
The kill screen is, in Donkey Kong, is the unintentional end to the game. It comes at 117 boards in, and once you get there, the game runs out of memory and it just crashes. Steve discovered that inadvertently. I mean, he had to play for 3 hours straight, which is that's the amount of zone he was in, and he thought his machine was broken because he kept getting to the end of the game. He didn't know what was wrong, so he sold it. that was a sign that he had the world record. I think he might not have thrown the machine away
now,
right then.
Why did the people who made Donkey Kong not say, okay, well, we're running? What, they ran out of memory, right?
That's, well, they didn't. They didn't know because it's literally 8-bit of memory.
That's, I mean, all the technology you would afford.
Yeah,
right?
Your ink pen has more memory than these old games.
No, but I'm saying when they made it, why didn't they just, when it ran out of memory, just go down to the next level down and just end it?
Well, that's what they.
But they didn't.
But they didn't realize that these guys, when it got out into the real world, how far these guys would push
the
game.
They never thought they'd get that far.
Yeah, they had no idea. And as a matter of fact,
nobody could do it. No one could test it.
Yeah. Oh, and as a matter of fact, Billy Mitchell, who had the world's first perfect Pac-Man, which means every ghost, every dot on your first man, 256 boards is the kill screen.
Wow.
Exactly. He actually got flown to Japan by Namco
when he was a teenager
to tell the engineers how their game behaved.
Really?
He had discovered how all the ghosts behave. This one, the blue one, follows in front of you. This one's trying to trail you. This one's randomly trying. And he learned how to group these ghosts so he could eat them all at one time. It's just like these guys, the engineers were just like, no idea I did that. I mean, it's just like,
hey, let's play one clip from the film. Let's play one clip from the film before we have to take a break. By the way, did Billy Mitchell have the mullet when he was a teenager? I didn't notice that in the movie.
His look hasn't changed too much.
Hasn't changed. It's a spectacular look.
Here's the guy that Kevin referred to as the Darth Vader of the piece. And we'll be talking more about Billy Mitchell when we come back with the guys from the King of Kong movie in a moment. But this gives you an idea of the kind of royalty that guys like Billy and now guys like Steve are. Listen to this clip from King of Kong opening today.
Since I so-called debuted on the scene at Life magazine in 1982, there hasn't been anybody who's played even close.
When Billy Mitchell walks into an arcade, you know, everything stops. There's electricity around Billy Mitchell. Everybody wants to crowd around him. Everybody wants to see him.
You know, everything about him is perfect. You know, Billy is just that person, you know, he wants to represent.
If you could hack into the machine and program it to play itself, you couldn't even program it that well.
There's a glamour to Billy. There's a specialness to Billy. He was the first. He was the first great, great player.
The fact of the matter is, Bill is the best classic arcade gamer of our era.
Of our era.
That's the guy that Steve decides to take on in the movie, and it's a fascinating journey, and we'll talk some more about it. Where is King of Kong playing for folks who can't stick around to the next break?
We're at the New Art, which is on Santa Monica Boulevard right by the 405. We'll be there for a week, and then if we do well this weekend, we'll bounce out to some of the other landmarks around town.
And I'd just like to say one more time, this is one of those movies that none of us really thought we would enjoy, because how could we care about that?
Because we're not into gaming like
but
that.
But so engrossing. Just couldn't get enough of it.
It's absolutely worth the trip from wherever you're coming from in Southern California, because you will be cheering and crying and screaming. I mean, it evokes so many emotions in this movie. Absolutely.
And you'll be wanting to kill that guy that we just heard about.
Oh, he's the best.
King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters is the name of it. We'll be from time to time, we come across a little tiny movie that we have to recommend highly so that you go find it. This one's at the New Art, and it opens today, and it's called King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. And Steve Wiebe is one of the people in it, and he's taken on another guy by the name of
Billy Mitchell.
And it is the most engrossing, engaging movie that we've seen in a long time.
It's basically Steve's journey and his attempt to try to beat the Donkey Kong world record that's held by this Blofeld of the gaming world, Billy Mitchell, and all the things he has to go through, all the prejudice and all the pressure and all the personal sacrifice he has to do to try to achieve his goal. It's like Rocky with Donkey Kong, basically.
let me ask. That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
it's the Rocky of Donkey Kong.
Yep,
absolutely.
That's it.
Steve, you are a rock star among people who have seen the movie and appreciate what you've accomplished, and of course within the gaming industry, you're held in high esteem. But what kind of reaction do you get from, you know, I know you're a teacher, colleagues at, you know, colleagues or friends of your wife's. I mean, how do they react when they find out your obsession with the Donkey Kong?
They a lot of them think, how cool could a documentary be about video games? They're like,
right,
we're going to watch you play 2 hours and just, but they don't understand all what the levels that this movie operates on, and they think it's cool.
They you know, you just don't realize that this world is out there and it's so complete, and they've got their hero and they've got their referee and they've got this whole thing that's in place that we never come across somehow. I don't know how it never gets to, you know, out to the people.
I think what makes the movie work is the passion that these people have for these games and these records.
Not a one of these people ever got laid either, did they? Seriously.
Well, Steve has two kids, so
Steve did. We know that.
Hey, don't spoil. Steve did, right. Sorry.
Don't spoil the movie.
Not a lot of prom dates for that crowd, I don't think.
No.
You're absolutely right.
And by the way, an exclusively male club, and it looks like from the film an exclusively white club, too. I don't know what
is
about.
Forget about the Qbert record holder. She's not a man.
Well, if you call her a serious player, yeah. I'm just saying, I mean, there is certainly a type that goes into these, that gets into this obsession. What do most of you classic gamers think about the new stuff, about the PlayStation and about the Nintendo Wii and all of that? Are you have any interest in that or no?
My kids are fascinated by that world, and I can't really get them to embrace Donkey Kong the way I have. So
that's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But we got a Wii now, and it's a family oriented game. So we have like a bowling, like my wife Nicole will play Wii.
By the way, you are a very lucky man to have your wife. I just want to say that because she's what she called herself. Was it her or was it?
It was her, yeah.
Yeah. Called herself the First Lady of Donkey Kong. And she's so, like, supportive of her husband who's spending all this time playing the game.
I think she gets more outraged at some of those guys in Twin Galaxy than you do, Steve, when things are going poorly.
I think she did. And I'm glad she stuck around because, you know, a lot of
we have a great clip. Track 6 is a great clip of your poor, long-suffering wife, Nicole. And you guys have been through some ups and downs. But here she is talking about you when you got serious about when you kind of started up with the Donkey Kong big time again a few years ago.
I mean, I'm not the kind of wife that's needy that I need him sitting on the couch with me every night. I don't need that. What I need is him in the house helping me with the kids, or I need him being with the kids. So he would want to come out here and play, and that would drive me crazy. Because he is definitely OCD. When he is obsessed on something, he is so focused, and I have to be like, hello. So then I just said, you have to do it.
Yeah, she puts her foot down, doesn't she?
Well, I did sneak out during the day at one point, and you'll see in the movie what happens when you go try to play Donkey Kong when you're just alone with the kids.
The kids are awake.
Yeah. I don't want to give that away. I think we might play that clip next hour, yeah. But that was my favorite clip of the whole movie. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's a classic. When we first met Steve, he was telling me about that, what happened there. It was during a world record run that his son needed some very important attention,
right?
Which he was withholding. And because they videotape themselves. And so, of course, Seth and I, you know, you're always trying to grab material. Like, oh, could you send me? He sends me not only a VHS, he has a DVD of it. And so Seth and I sit down, and we're just starting to get into the world. And we pop in this DVD of his world record run where his son has pooped his pants.
Right.
Right.
And we're in tears. Like, that's the very first piece of footage that Seth and I had to make this film was that.
Donkey Kong, unlike the modern games, you can't pause, you can't stop, you can't save. So if your son, if you're at home because you don't have a job and you're taking care of your son and he craps his pants,
you say, wipe my butt.
That gets in the way of making history.
But you're literally on a world record pace. What do you do?
Derek, daddy's a little busy right now.
I mean, what would Tiger Woods do at the British Open if his new child? Yeah, I mean, he's going to finish the game.
He's got to wait.
Sure.
True. Just poop.
Now, we're almost out of time, but we don't want to give away how it ends because you have to see the movie. But that's not the end of the story. The story continues up to a couple weeks ago. I mean, things are still happening in the world of Donkey Kong, right?
Well, actually, as of yesterday, the story changed again.
Is that right?
Yeah, apparently Twin Galaxies has decided once again to change how world records on Donkey Kong are set.
And for those who don't know, Twin Galaxies is the sort of self-appointed commission that tracks all of the records that held in these classic video games.
It's like the commissioner of baseball or whatever in this world, and these guys are just nutty.
Yeah, because I think of what we were able to uncover, they've realized there was a lot of holes in what they were doing. So as of yesterday... And I'm still waiting to get confirmation. As of yesterday, Walter Day, the head referee and founder of Twin Galaxies, must be present when a Donkey Kong record is set.
Because of
all the hijinks. Yeah.
This would be like the commissioner of baseball going, you know what? Four strikes from now. It's got to be four strikes. Yes. It's no longer three, now it's four. All right. Well, we're gonna be following this one now that we know the players involved and see what's at stake. But we cannot stress enough how great this movie is. And I know it sounds like we're just saying that because the guys are in the room with us. But you'll cheer, won't you guys? I mean, you'll cheer
absolutely.
At the
guys
same.
Are in really the room will. With us because we feel this way about the movie.
Yeah? That's right. Yeah. That's right.
It scares us how much we like a movie about Donkey Kong.
And I've seen it on DVD, but I want to go see it on the big screen at the New Art. I think that'll be an even better experience. I really do. And it's a great place to see a movie, so you should definitely check it out there. I love this movie.
And Seth, I hope we'll have you back when the live action real actor storyboard version of this movie comes out. Because I guess you're making
that
too, right?
What the hell does that mean?
You know what I mean? They're making a dramatic recreation of the documentary now.
Yeah, Richard Brenner at New Line, when they orchestrated the sale or the purchase, it was the doc, which went to Picture House, a great, great company. And then New Line got the remake rights, and they're going to remake it as a narrative feature film. I'm going to direct it, and Ed's going to be one of the producers. So we'll both be back if you'll have us.
Awesome. Is Steve going to have any part in it?
Is he good looking enough to be in the movie?
I think it'll be great to have Steve around. I don't know if Steve will play Steve, but because he wants Mark Hamill to play him.
Sure, yeah, that's right.
Or
that's
Ralph
a good
Macchio.
Point.
And he should.
All right, it's called King of Kong: A Fistful of Quarters. It's at the Landmark New Art Theater.
Can we expect a King of Kong 2 anytime, guys?
You know, it's amazing. Honestly, it's hard for me to explain. I showed you earlier how many times Roy Schilt has called me
Mr.
who's
awesome.
In the film.
Yeah.
It's Yeah, if I had the energy. I mean, Seth's kind of taken off on his own world with movies and stuff. And if I had the energy, I would consider it for sure.
At the very least, when the DVD comes out, we're going to do an updated mini doc on what's happened since we had to, you know, finish the film.
Great.
All right. It's bizarre.
Thanks, guys.
It's fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Seth, thank you. Ed. Time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
I knew they were too beautiful for it to be true. Apparently, House co-stars Jennifer Morrison and Jesse Spencer have called off their engagement, according to People magazine.
Hmm.
I was so excited when they got engaged.
Yeah.
I wasn't invested in that either way, really.
Well, you know, it's my favorite show, House. Yeah. I love that. Love the two of them. And they're just both so incredibly good-looking. I said, that is like a perfect Hollywood couple. And they're going to have great-looking babies because he's all tan.
They ought to be, even if they decide not to get married, they ought to be required to have some kids together because they would be pretty good-looking kids.
After much consideration, they released in a joint statement, they said, we have decided not to get married. We are still very close, and we look forward to continuing to work together on House. Yeah, that's going to be a fun set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why is everybody trying to pull off that lie?
Omar Epps is going to be like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I got to work with these two?
Bruce Willis is the only person that can pull that off.
Yeah, that's
staying friends and getting together and all that crap.
Congratulations to Amy Winehouse and her husband who have checked themselves into rehab. Oops, they just checked themselves out. I guess my congratulations were a little too soon. Apparently they stayed in for one day and then decided it wasn't for them.
They put in a full 24 hours.
Family members are at least disappointed. We're expecting them to put in 6 to 8 weeks of work towards their sobriety, and one day is not what they expected. So.
It's a cash bar in rehab. That's why. That gets old.
They don't have a bar.
Lindsay Lohan's former bodyguard is talking. His name is Tony Alameda.
Mida.
Wasn't he the head of CTU?
He was, yeah.
For a while when Jack Bauer was working for him?
Yeah.
In Touch magazine says that Tony blames Lindsay's problems on her parents. Well, surprise, surprise. Tony says to In Touch magazine that Lindsay's dad was like Jekyll and Hyde, and he even saw her slam her against a car as a teenager.
Oh, man.
Tony Alameda had to pull her off. He said they also pretty much let her do whatever she wanted for as long as the money was coming in, and it's been like that since she was a little girl. So
that's really sad.
Yeah. Now you know why she's got no boundaries, because no one ever gave them to her.
Yeah.
And speaking of money, Forbes.com has released their list of the richest rappers in the world. The richest rapper made $34 million last year in 2006.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Whoever that was.
That guy?
I don't think that's the guy.
No.
No, it's Spencer from The Hills,
that's
right?
That's right. Spencer. Little did you know, he was a rap mogul. Actually, no, it was Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, sure.
Came in on the top of the list with $34 million. Fitty came in second with $32 million that he made in 2006.
Right, wow.
P. Diddy made $28 million.
What?
In 2006.
I don't remember the last time 50 Cent put out an album, by the way. That's a lot of money to be coming in for a guy who, you know.
It's their products.
Yeah, I guess it must be
they
the 50 Cent
on their music
water
anymore.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, vitamin water. That's a
big
part
right,
of it.
Yeah.
The rounding out the top five are Timbaland and Dr. Dre. Those are your top five money-making rappers
in
the business. I guess that makes sense.
Well, he's a doctor and a rapper, so it's not really fair.
Yeah, it isn't fair. He's got that.
He's got two incomes.
He's got the neurosurgery practice on the side. That doesn't seem quite fair to anybody. And speaking of medical oddities, Jack Nicholson's saliva glands have stopped working.
Oh, no.
Is this just the first step to his whole body shutting down?
I believe so. Listen, you can only punish it for so long. 70-year-old actor has been tested to drink water constantly to compensate for the over-the-top case of dry mouth he experiences. This is according to the New York Post.
Same with Snoop.
You've got spit. I can't handle spit. I wish I had your kind of spit, boy. Oh, spit boy.
Was it last week it was all about Jack's crooked penis, and this week it's all about his saliva glands? Is he just falling apart on us?
I don't remember the crooked penis story.
That's you read on your own,
Bean.
Bean
must read a different website than I do.
It was a big story.
What do you know about his crooked penis?
No one else heard about it but you. It was a big story.
Okay. Well, I'll send you a copy.
Bean reads penis blogs.
Oh, celebritypeni.com, I think.
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
All I care about is if she has saliva when it comes to my penis.
That's right.
There you go.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert De Niro, 64 years old today. Belinda Carlisle turns 49. Sean Penn is 47 years old today. Gilby Clark, ex-Guns N' Roses guitarist. He is 45 years old today. And Donnie Wahlberg, known, of course, for New Kids on the Block, an actor in his own right and brother to Mark Wahlberg. You think that relationship has any reflection in Entourage between Johnny Drama and
Vince? It's a good question.
He is 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Scott Haslerig. Oh, that's not even a name.
Haslerig. Sure.
What the hell is... what are you doing? What are you making stuff up for?
That's got to be a typo. Anyway, whatever your name is, Scott from Huntington Beach, you're going to the LA Invasion concert, Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Chris Cornell, Cypress Hill, Perry Farrell, Satellite Party, Hot Hot Heat, Against Me, and a great up-and-coming young band called Paramore. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. All the details at krock.com.
Frank Caliendo, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are
great
you, my
to
friend?
Be here. Yeah. I was telling you this off the air a little bit. I was enthralled by that... Is that the right word?
Enthralled?
Sure. No, I was in love with that interview because I, as a kid, that's all I did was play. I was never that good. You want to turn that for me?
There's a guy fixing the microphone. If he doesn't do that, people can't hear you on the other side. Correct. And then boom. Why am I even talking about it?
How good were you, though? Because these guys are breaking a million when they play Donkey Kong. Well, that's insane.
I'm sure I'm not. I wasn't like that. But we were saying off the air, too, that I got to a million once and it flipped. So this was on ColecoVision, though. So
but that's
I
not the same as the stand-up?
No. Much easier, I'm guessing. And the arcade's always tougher.
Frank Caliendo is here, by the way, because he's at the Irvine Improv. You were there last night, in fact, and you're there through Sunday at the Irvine Spectrum, which is a great room, improv.com. But the reason I'm excited to see you, Frank, is... Are you still doing the Fox football thing on Sundays, or will you be doing it again this season?
Yeah, I'm doing it again. I'm actually in all the promos now and everything like that. It's pretty cool.
Have you heard the news about what they're doing for the Super Bowl?
I actually knew about it a while ago. I knew that it was
Thanks for the heads up, a-hole.
I couldn't tell anybody. I just remember somebody coming in and saying that Seacrest was going to be a part of it.
Of the Super Bowl.
And, I'm looking forward to it, huh?
But seriously, though. Can Howie Long squash him? I mean, is that possible? Is that something that can happen?
I actually saw the guys. I heard that announcement, and I was there with the guys, and they were all, like, excited about it. You know?
Do they not know who he is?
Yeah, no. I'm not going to say anything bad. I work for the same company.
Will. You don't put Seacrest together with football. That's a bad mixture.
Yeah, you know, football is about football, and I don't know if Ryan Seacrest is about football, but after seeing this... He might be the new Brett Favre.
Look, how about leaving him on the red carpet for the Golden Globes, where he and the ladies can talk about pretty dresses, and leave football to the rest of us? How about that?
Well, if you knew anything about Terry and the guys, they're talking about that stuff anyways.
Right? Yeah, great.
But, I mean, refresh our memory, because we were talking about this a little yesterday, Frank, and I know you're not responsible for the decision, and we're going to try not to gang up on you. It's not your fault. But there hasn't been a pregame or halftime host in the past on the Super Bowl. Usually the guys in the booth do it, right?
Well, I don't know if he's going to – I think he's doing remote segments. I think he's doing segments there with, like, interviews and stuff. The pregame guys are still doing their thing, and they're hosting the show. So he is a part of it.
So they're going to toss it to him, and then he's going to act like he knows anything about sports?
But I don't think he's going to talk about sports. I think he's going to do the entertainment side.
Clothing.
It's going to be like red carpet and stuff like that.
Hair tinting.
Yeah. Terry Bradshaw. What am I wearing? I don't even know. I just threw it on, guys.
So Seacrest might do an interview with whoever the halftime musical performer is or something like that. It sounds like.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's like lead up kind of stuff, because I have like three or four sketches up until maybe not anymore.
Really?
But I had three or four sketches that were going to be on Super Bowl Sunday, and they're still supposed to be two or three. I'm just joking. He's like a running part of the show. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I did see I was at the thing in New York the other day where it was the announcement of that. So.
Yeah, and that's bad.
We gotta stop it. I mean, it can't go on. We can't, as America, lay down and let the terrorists win. We have to figure out some way to keep Seacrest off TV.
What you guys are thinking, it's the word I've worked on with, I've got a new impression, Charles Barkley, that I've been working on.
Oh, good.
And it's the word
terrible.
Because he doesn't say terribly.
I was terrible. I made a lot of guys go out there and pretend to know about football. But this is crazy. This is crazy. I'm going to watch. I'm not going to watch. That's crazy. He's a knucklehead, that Caliendo going on here. What is he?
He always pretends to like somebody a lot, and then he will rip them to shreds.
Sure, yeah.
He'll be like, you know, I love LeBron. But he doesn't play any defense. He is terrible. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible thing. I played with Michael Jordan. This is crazy. Are you in my five? Who's in my five? Are you in my five? Dwayne Wade's in my five. We play golf together. That's crazy.
It's almost Muhammad Ali when you think about it. That's crazy, crazy, crazy. That's a crazy, yeah, crazy thing right there.
Charles Barkley's a cartoon now, isn't he?
That is a funny impression. Now, will you have to get the blackface on in order to do him on TV?
We don't call it that. I do. Yeah! What were you thinking? I don't know, Jerry. I just had a lot of anger right in here.
That's a terrible, terrible thing. You can't say that. That was crazy.
Are you glad that football's back so your Madden is being called for heavy again?
Yeah, I mean, I do it all over. I mean, people, I'll tell you, I do get sick of doing it a little bit on TV. I always like doing it live because it's fun, because people, just to see the reaction from people.
Right.
Because in my show now, I get about halfway through it. I haven't done it yet. And I'm like, well, this is normally where I do the John Madden impression. Now I'm not doing, here's to me. I'm not doing it anymore. I will get booed from people who are having a great time. Like, boo! They're checking ticket prices. Like, this is crap!
You know, so it's like the hit song that you have to sing everywhere you tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's your Hey There, Delilah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like doing it. I found the video game came out the other day. I'm sure.
Madden 08.
Madden 08. Yeah.
If I were him, I wouldn't have stopped at that. I would have kept doing every video game possible. Could you imagine, like, Super Mario Brothers Madden Edition? Like, you're jumping up with Mario, and then Madden's face, boom, Mario just ate a mushroom. I mean, he's doubled his original size. He's going to go kick a Koopa Trooper's ass. I mean, I'd hate to be a Koopa Trooper right now. They're all green and slimy, and Mario just got to the end of the level. No, I can tell. He just banged his little Nintendo groin on a flagpole. I mean, you may be seeing fireworks, but boom, Mario's seeing stars. And guess what? Your princess is in another castle, jackass.
That would be fantastic. How did it happen that David Letterman became so enamored of John Madden that they have you on as the guest all the time?
You know what? I don't know. And I don't even know if what they were doing was legal. Like, they were announcing John Madden was there, I would just show up.
That's awesome.
And I'd walk out there. I look like one of the seven dwarves in Madden makeup, like a tiny little guy rolling out there. And one of the last times I was on, I did it like six times. And I think they want me to do
crazy.
It again. I pulled a chicken wing out of my pocket while I'm on there, and I started eating it. It was so dry. I just couldn't stop laughing, and Dave starts laughing. And I actually met with a producer of the movie 300, which
love that.
Mark Canton, I had a meeting with him just because, and he goes, I have no idea what I'd ever do with you, but he goes, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
The Madden.
And yeah, pulling the chicken wing out. And it was just he's like, I don't know, we could probably never use you in a movie, but I'll tell you what, it was funny to see that.
So people take meetings with you now
based on my Madden garbage.
Is that on YouTube? Is that clip up? Because I'd love to see that.
I'm pretty sure it's somewhere. It's actually on my website, I bet.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. FrankCaliendo.com. Frank is here, by the way. He's at the Irvine Improv all the way through Sunday night. If you want to go, it's a great live show, 949-854-5455 or improv.com. We'll take a break, come back more with our guests after this on K-Rock.
Frank Caliendo is in the studios with us. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night.
Frank, of course, you know from Mad TV and the Fox Sunday football stuff that he does. And he also has his own show, which I guess we'll have you on back to talk about as we get closer. Awesome. But it's going to be Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving time?
Yeah, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Tuesday of Thanksgiving week is the premiere of Frank TV. And then the Friday before that is actually my stand-up special that's going to go on TBS.
Very cool.
Now, yeah, they're going to do they're doing a ton with me, I guess.
What do you do on your TV show? Is it sketches?
Stand-up? Yeah, it's sketch comedy. You can even see a lot of it on the TBS's website. I was trying to find a way to do Seinfeld where I could do all of them so they'd all be fat. So I thought of, you know, I was sitting with the showrunners, and we're all like executive producers.
Here's a guy plugging himself now as an executive producer. That is terrible. That's a crazy, crazy idea. That's a knucklehead.
But we're sitting there and we're trying to figure it out. And we thought, what about Seinfeld, the reunion show? Mm-hmm. And so we came up with, we're just riffing it. It was like, Jerry comes in, I'm everybody. I'm like, somebody stole my hover shoes. I can't hover. I can't glide. Stole your hover shoes, Jerry. That's despicable. Who would do such a despicable thing? Hey, Jerry, you're not going to believe this, but I lost your hover shoes in a poker game. Don't worry. I'll get them back. Yeah! I'm Rosie O'Donnell. Not Rosie O'Donnell. I look like Rosie O'Donnell. I found a way to make Rosie O'Donnell look hot in this. I played Elaine in it. And the other thing about Rosie O'Donnell was last year in the NFC Championship, we did a sketch where I was Trump and Rosie.
Right.
And I'm ripping each,
fighting
you know,
each other.
Going back and forth. And the last line of it, Jeff Cesario wrote this line, actually. And it was, that's great, Rosie. Guess what? One more thing. I loved you and Uncle Buck. So it was one of my favorite lines. It's a little silly line, but yeah. But
see, because she wasn't in Uncle Buck. That's the comedy. It was John Candy, and he was also fat.
Yeah, he's a big guy, and she was a big guy. And I mean, that's two big guys. And,
nice rip by Caliendo going into the room. Incredible.
I wanted to ask if your friend President George W. Bush was around, and does he have any comment about this young man that Jenna Bush announced she's going to marry?
Well, I think that any time a nice young lady can marry anyone at all, mm-hmm. I think it's good.
But and your daughter, though, you know that.
I hadn't read about that yet. Okay. But I heard some things. By the way, I don't know if I've changed my view on a lot of things. I'm fine with gay marriage now.
Is that right?
What? I didn't. What?
As long as it's a gay man marrying a gay woman. Or a gay woman marrying a gay man. But your parts have to match up. You can't plug a lamp into a lamp.
That's true.
But
it's true.
Here's a guy who gets away with some of that stuff because it's not in his own voice.
Hey, Jerry, I wish I'd had that.
Yeah! It's going to be a very sad day for you, and maybe only you, when President Bush steps down in January of 2009.
Well, you know what? I'm sure I'll do a little bit. I work backwards with it, and it's just there's so much Bush stuff in my act right now, but I'll still probably do it because he's so you're not going to forget the guy.
And besides, I could win one more time.
And the blank look he has on his face when he does Bush is awesome. Yeah. It's just, it kind of goes vacant.
It's real.
You just try to find the, you know, the words.
Right.
Eventually they get there.
We asked Daryl Hammond when we had him in from Saturday Night Live if he was taking a look at all of the contestants that are going to run for president and if he was trying to
They're
pick...
not contestants, by the way, Kevin. They're candidates.
The Price is Right.
Are you keeping your eye on anybody? Do you hope anybody wins?
Daryl is so much more of a scientist at this than I am because I'm not working on anything.
So you just wait and see what happens.
I'm waiting to see because you can't use it after a certain amount of time. And I'm usually spending time with my kids or stuff like that or trying to other money scams, I guess.
Sure. Pyramid scams.
Yeah.
But see, like, for instance, Kevin, he'll freely admit this, that he votes for comedy. Like, who's the funniest guy? I mean, let's face it, that's how Schwarzenegger sure. won. But I mean, a guy like you, it seems like with your livelihood, if you did a killer Giuliani, it would be to your benefit if a guy like that
becomes president. Yeah, well, I didn't vote last time around actually because of that, because I would have been one of those people voting 10 times for Bush just to because my personal economy was dependent on that. And I was watching the different returns on different stations, you know. And the CNN, CBS, to watch NBC and Fox News, totally different on how they did it and who they were saying was winning. Right. And I'm sitting there sweating like, who's going to win? You know,
I need four more years of this for my impression.
Oh, yeah. Because Bush has been the thing that people all come out to see now. Everybody knows me for Madden, but people come out to see the Bush.
Oh,
when I do
really?
Bush. Oh, yeah, because it's always topical. He's always doing something. There's always
that's
something
true.
New. So and it covers not only sports. I mean, that's one of my little pigeonholes for myself is the Madden thing. I'm always doing Madden. And the other thing is it's always people think of me as sports. My show is maybe 20% sports at most. So there is sports in it, but it's not that. But Bush has really made it so a lot more women would come out and see the show. And I could always talk about, you know, with things women like, you know, not, like Charles Barkley.
Not to be a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes. I love it.
But
are you in my five? Are you in my five?
Let's see. Who's in my five? Laura, Bill Clifton. There's like six others.
That's some terrible math right there. That was crazy.
And I keep trying not to be sports, and it's so funny because everything
it's
that
hard.
I do on the radio, but it's weird because everything I do on the radio now, those are all the new ones. Like last time I was here, I was doing Bill Walton. I remember being at Berkeley, blotching a beard, not connecting on my face. I could smell colors. I could feel sounds. Those are the kinds of things. And I'm just doing Dr. Phil. What are you thinking? Just got to do that stuff just to be okay.
And you have to throw Al Pacino in every once in a while
because
people love that.
Yeah, I heard the Donkey Kong thing.
Yeah.
Is that nuts or what? At the top of a building that hasn't been built yet, and there's a monkey throwing barrels at you. And Bean, the barrels are on fire.
I don't get it either, Al. I'm sorry.
It's crazy. You're an Italian plumber. How do you get stuck in this position? And every time you get to the top... He takes your girlfriend Pauline away. That's nuts.
It is definitely nuts. Al.
There's
right
a monkey throwing barrels at you, Bean. A monkey, not a gorilla. Not some kind of, I don't know what, but it's not good. Then you catch a hammer that's handed in the middle of the air for no reason.
That's correct, yeah.
How's that hammer hanging there? I don't get it. It's in the middle of space. You jump up, bang. You can break the barrels.
How did that game ever get invented? That's a great question. Now you know why the man's CD is called Make the Voices Stop. Frank Caliendo, Irvine Improv, tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night. You can call 949-854-5455 or improv.com. I know the Irvine Spectrum, that's a great place to do comedy down there.
When does the NFL
NFL on Fox starts week one. It will be. I think I actually do a little thing on tonight. There's a 15-second thing where I make a pick. We didn't. I don't even know what the pick is. Because it's only one game, so I'm just like. But week one is a big one. We have something special that's going to happen week one that people will be.
I'm so glad.
Like, how did that
back.
Happen?
So glad.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Frank, you're the best, man. Always great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Great job by you. Better job by me. Out.
You know what the best thing was about having funny man Frank Caliendo in? He believes that man landed on the moon.
He does, yeah. That's true.
I think that was it. I think that was the best thing. All right. It's 8:42. Also, the movie beat. Run a little bit late today, but the movie beat is still to come before the top of the hour. Right now, we got to take care of some business. Do we have the mind freak himself, Chris Angel, on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show? Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
I just like to say what an honor it is to be on your show. I've been listening. My father and I used to listen before he died.
Chris, you've got to make one sentence, not include your dead father.
You guys have always been an inspiration for us, my whole family.
You've never heard our show.
No, I have no idea who you are.
Okay. Chris, you've been in the tabloids a lot this summer, linked with Cameron Diaz and I think Lindsay Lohan for a minute. But now you're spotted at 4 o'clock in the morning, coming out of a hotel or going into a hotel, whatever it was, with Britney Spears. What's going on with you two partying the night away?
Britney and I are just friends. I've been a fan of her music. My father and I used to listen
Stop
to her
it
music
with your
before
father.
My father died. And so we used to enjoy... Oops, I did it again. But Britney and I are just friends, and we're just working together.
She pretty much, though, crosses a point at about 3:30 in the morning where if you're with her, you make out with her. That's pretty much the deal.
Oh, sure. I boned her. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But you're just friends.
I've got we're just friends. I've got a goal now, a career goal, where I want to put my crank in everybody who was ever on the cover of Us Weekly.
Okay.
Well, you're getting there.
You're making some progress, yeah. Aren't you?
Anybody have Zac Efron's number?
Oh. Bean does.
Yeah.
So are the rumors?
What was that?
What was that, Chris?
My penis just did some magic. Just magically appeared.
Are there any truth to the rumors that maybe you are concocting some sort of a stunt or some sort of a visual gag or something that she will be performing on the MTV Video Music Awards coming up next month?
Well, there was gagging involved.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's not what I meant at all.
What was that? What just happened?
Magic.
Magic? Right, but what?
Where'd you hear this, that we were working on something for the VMAs?
Well, it's just some, you know, it's rumored. It's just going around the internet that maybe you guys are working together on something.
Well, I guess... The cat's out of the bag. I guess I can talk about it then.
Actually, our entertainment reporter, Ralph, did a story on that. He had some sources.
Actually, Brittany and I are working for something for the VMAs when she does her big comeback appearance on the MTV Video Music Awards.
Okay. What's it going to be?
We've been working together on several tricks. Well, first she contacted me because she wanted to know if I could make her children disappear.
Oh.
And we started talking, and she said she'd like to work some magic into her act for the VMAs.
So Britney Spears is going to do magic now.
Yes. She's going to make a bottle of Goldschlager disappear.
Really? Wow.
Like every other night.
We haven't decided which orifice yet.
We're
going to use. Sorry, I just got some eyeliner in my eye. It burns. It burns.
Chris? Chris, you're not doing. You're not walking on hot coals. You're fine, Chris. You're just making a phone call.
You got it. I got it.
Chris, let me ask you one more quick thing before we go. I know you got another special this weekend. I guess you're doing some. You're going to recreate the Houdini tricks that inspired you to get into magic.
Do some of the greatest illusions of the world's most famous illusionist, Harry Houdini. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And that includes what? What kinds of things you're going to be doing?
I will lock myself in a jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
and I will be completely stripped naked.
Right. Okay.
And I will unlock the jail cell, find a way to get out before a group of my fans burst in the room to find me nude.
Why
I will have nothing hidden, concealed on my body whatsoever, nothing.
Why do you insist on being naked in front of people?
Because I'm shredded.
Where is that? That's true.
I'll tell you how I do it. My plan is to take a huge amount of Viagra before I get into the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, my unit is so tiny, it can double as a lockpick.
Is that right?
Oh, there you go.
I can open handcuffs. I can open keyholes.
That's how you do it?
Yes.
Wow. All right, what just happened?
I just unlocked something. With my penis. I'm sure if I made that clear.
You did?
Yeah.
Don't be a sucker. Don't be a sucker.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you. All right, what was that? What just happened?
The Viagra wore off.
Oh, no.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Ralph, did you hear Frank Caliendo doing the Chris Angel impression for us a few minutes ago? It was pretty funny, right?
I did not, no.
Guy's good. Well, guy's good. I'm telling you. Look out, man. He's nipping at your heels. Watch it.
He can have it.
If he wants his job, I'll trade with him any day. Any day. It's Friday morning. Yeah, we're talking to the guy from Superbad in a few minutes, but let's take a look at that and all the other movies because it's Friday, and that means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching one man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies, no matter where he turns, there's just no escaping his destiny. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, gang, 11 new movies in theaters this weekend. It's an excellent movie-going weekend, by the way.
Oh, it's
a lot
good to hear.
Recommend this weekend. Let's take a look at some of the bigger films. We've got a few documentaries. We've got a few horror films. We've got a few comedies coming out this weekend. First and foremost is another remake of the classic 1950s horror movie, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. This time, it's starring that chick, Nicole Kidman, and also Daniel Craig in his first post-James Bond performance. People start acting weird in Washington, D.C., and it's not just the usual politicians. There's an alien invasion going on. They're taking over our bodies and making us mindless drones. Well, they picked the right city for it, by the way, if they're going to do that. Nicole Kidman stars in this film, as I mentioned. And as I said before, this is based on The Body Snatchers, a book written years ago that's been made into, four or five different movies now. My personal favorite is the one from the 70s with Donald Sutherland. I think that's the best of all of them. This time it's rehashed and...
You're not all that excited?
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to me in terms of what I've seen so far. Here's a little clip from the movie, which... the premise is, once the invasion, the body snatchers get to your body, they inject you with, like, this stuff. And if you fall asleep, that's when the pods replicate you. You become, like, a cloned version of yourself. You lose your personality. And, unfortunately, apparently Nicole has been bitten by the bug, so to speak, and now she's scared to death.
Tucker held me down, and I have it. Oh, God, I'm so afraid I'm going to fall asleep.
You can easily go for a week without any sleep, and then we'll find a pharmacy. We'll do whatever it takes so you can stay awake.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to fall asleep, too, watching this movie.
You know, Nicole Kidman is not one of those Oscar winners that you can just go on faith because she has a pretty bad, she has a pretty spotty track record, let me say.
Yes.
Yeah, she's made some real dogs and been in some great films. And I don't know, I never sort of buy her in the thrillers either.
Really?
The Interpreter, I thought was pretty good. The one she made with Sean Penn, I thought that was pretty
strong.
That
was good. That was a good movie, yeah.
But, yeah, she is. She could be shaky. So, I don't know, I'm going to pass on The Invasion. I'm going to go rent the 70s version instead. The 11th Hour opens this weekend as well. It's a documentary produced by Leonardo DiCaprio about how we're all going to die.
Oh, good.
It's all about global warming, the destruction of the ecosystem. It's kind of like the Al Gore movie without all the fun.
The footage that I've seen that looks most shocking in this one is the trash, is where all the trash goes, just dumped into, you know, lakes and things. I mean, it really does look like a massive bummer.
Yeah, we're using up the world pretty quickly. So maybe Lisa May's bright not to put her air conditioner on all day long.
Maybe,
you know,
I have a point.
Is this a date movie then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sounds like a good time. Leonardo DiCaprio narrates as well as produces this documentary. Here's a little clip from The 11th Hour.
Industrial civilization has caused irreparable damage. Our political and corporate leaders have consistently ignored the overwhelming scientific evidence.
Not only is it the 11th hour, it's 11:59.
Dude!
Well, then.
Oh, word.
Good luck, everybody. It's like Vegas, you know? I'm showing my hands and walk away from the table. What are you going to do? It's 11:59.
I'm out.
So for 11 hours and 59 seconds, we've screwed up the Earth, and in a minute you expect me to do something to save it? We're horked. They should call this movie We're Horked, not the 11th hour. Let's move on, shall we? Death at a Funeral opens today, a British comedy about a man who's trying to deal with an insane British family at the same time he tries to make his father's funeral the perfect event. Looks very funny. Directed by Frank Oz, who many of you may know better as the voice of Miss Piggy. And Yoda, he was one of the Muppeteers, and he's made a couple funny feature films himself. Ever since that, he's been a director. Here's a little clip from Death at a Funeral.
Look at him. He's stone dead.
Good God, what the hell did you do to him?
We didn't do anything.
He hit his head on the corner.
He hit his head on the corner?
He hit his head. That's what happened. Why, what happened?
Oh, my God, this is really, really bad. This is really, really, really bad.
Yeah, it's bad when you kill someone at a funeral. That's just bad for him. Here's a movie you heard us talking about not too long ago, King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. This is a documentary about a man's attempt to earn not only bragging rights, but the world's record for the best score at the video game Donkey Kong. I know it sounds
dorky
and a little slight, but in reality, it is one of the most human, one of the most interesting, one of the most engaging movies I've seen all year long. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed this film. It's only showing in one theater. That's the New Art Theater at 11272 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's the corner of Santa Monica and Sawtell, right off the 405. It may be a little out of the way for some of you, but I guarantee you, if you go, you will not be sorry that you went to see this movie. I promise you.
You'll be amazed that this world is out there and you had no idea.
And you will get completely engrossed and you completely absorbed by the story, and you will be rooting for the heroes and hissing at the villains, I guarantee you. And it's all real, which makes it even that much more entertaining. If you're a fan of the Christopher Guest sort of mockumentaries where losers are sort of caught up in their own worlds, this does it better than that because this is real, and you can't beat real, I'm telling you. You will laugh out loud at this movie, Fistful of Quarters, King of Kong, at the Landmark New Art Theater. Here is a great clip from the film where our hero, Steve Wiebe, who we talked to earlier today, is attempting to break the world's record at Donkey Kong. He's got a Donkey Kong machine in his garage set up, and unfortunately, his little son, Derek, just doesn't want to play along and leave Daddy alone to try to best his own personal record.
Daddy! I can't believe this is happening, guys.
Wipe my bottom!
Wipe your bottom?
Yeah.
I will in a second, bud.
What?
Okay, bring me some toilet paper, buddy. Derek, I'm going to get the world record, Derek. Derek, I'm going to get the world record. Derek?
No!
Derek! You stop it!
Don't play Donkey Kong!
He wants his dad to wipe his butt, and his dad is literally on pace to break the world record. Yeah. He can't turn himself away.
He's literally torn, as only a father would be in that situation. Do I wipe my son's butt, or do I keep going? Don't play! Because he's screaming.
By the way, they should play that clip for every couple that's about to have sex, just to make sure they think of the consequences.
It's just a great film. I guarantee you're going to like it. And lastly, another great film that I can recommend highly, Superbad, opens this weekend. It is a classic teenage sex comedy in the best sense of the word. It is funny. It's heartfelt. The friendship between the two main characters, played by Jonah Hill and Michael Cera, is really heartwarming. But it is raunchy, and it is lustful, and it is outrageous. It's everything you want in one of these kind of comedies, and I really enjoyed it.
You saw King of Kong, and you saw this one.
2 out of 5 that I'm talking about today I've seen.
You're going crazy.
I gotta take a nap. I'm exhausted. Here's a little clip from Superbad.
Hawaii. Mm-hmm. All right, that's good. It's hard to trace, I guess. Wait, you changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogel? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Have you actually ever met anyone named McLovin?
It doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin. What? What name? What name? Who are you, Seal? Fogel? Zaggy says you're 25 years old. Why wouldn't you just put 21, man?
How many 21-year-olds do you think there are in this town?
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible. I mean, it's up to you, Fogle. This guy's either going to think here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor. Okay, so what's it going to be?
I am McLovin.
Gotta love the quest for the perfect fake ID. It's an Hawaiian driver's license with the word McLovin on it for his name. Tell you, this movie is just so funny, so entertaining. And it's one of those laugh-out-loud, every couple of minutes kind of funny. It's just constantly just a barrage of really, really funny jokes. I promise you, you'll have a good time.
And so, you said it's one of the rare ones that are funnier than the actual trailer.
Yeah, the trailer. They can't really show you the funniest stuff because a lot of it's really sort of raunchy. The language in this is just F-bombs are just dropping left and right. But it's how people talk. Certainly how I talked when I was in high school. So yep. I had a blast watching this. I think you will, too. So King of Kong or Superbad, either one of those, you can't go wrong this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Remember when Seth Rogen used to care about America? Remember when he used to live in this country and hang out with Americans?
Oh, yeah.
Remember those good old days? Ooh. Wow. Get a couple of hit movies under the belt. All of a sudden, oh, I'm too good to live in your country. Too good to be in America.
I think he's calling from London. I don't think he's living there.
You lie. Hey, Seth Rogen.
Hey, they traded me for David Beckham. We get
Why?
Him, they get me.
Wow. Well, I think we win. I'm sorry to say, but I think
they are. I don't know. It depends.
Now, is Superbad opening across the pond already, or are you there for other business?
I'm here for Knocked Up, actually. Knocked Up is opening here next week.
Are you kidding me? How
really?
Weird is that for
weird.
Your head?
It takes that long. I get very confused as to what I'm even talking about. So to compensate, I'm only talking about the Bourne Ultimatum.
Excellent. Good. Good.
Well, we've been talking a lot about Superbad the last couple of weeks, of course, and we had your friend Jonah Hill in yesterday. And that guy, by the way, hilarious guy, and man, he's got some funny stories, doesn't he?
He really does. I always feel so lame when I'm around him because he's younger than me, but has done 10 times the amount of hilarious things that I have.
He has lived like quite the life compared to you.
Here's what one of the reviews is. You heard Ralph a few moments ago on K-Rock on the Movie Beat talking about it's the must-see movie of the weekend. But listen to this and tell me if this, as the guy who wrote the movie, Seth, tell me if this is accurate from this one review. Superbad is a frontal assault of sex, drinking, nerds, chases, mischief, drugs, cursing, high school, bad fashions, gunfire, liquor store robbery, lube, separation anxiety, romance, and a laser-precise portrayal of adolescence friendship. How do you like that?
That's pretty good.
Wow.
Did I write that? No.
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 Who said that?
This is just
someone
one
with
of
a
the
real name?
One of the I don't recognize the name. It's just one
exactly.
of the many movie reviews, but put that on the poster, you know?
Most reviews these days are just written by people with, like, internet aliases.
Yeah, true.
Like, Love Smurfs 87 was that one.
Now, Jonah told us yesterday that this is a script that you started working on back when you were something crazy like 13 years old.
Yeah, we were around 13 or 14 years old, and just no one really wanted anything to do with us, and girls wouldn't talk to us, and we naively thought that if we tell all the girls that after school we're going home to write a movie, that would sound cool.
Yeah, and that worked.
But that could not be further from the truth.
Didn't work, okay.
In fact, it sounds quite gay.
there just aren't that many 13-year-olds who have a big enough vision to think about sitting down and writing a movie. It just seems like such a big piece to chew off. You know what I mean?
I guess so. We might have been so young and stupid that it didn't seem like that big a deal.
You didn't realize what it was?
Exactly, yeah. We just foolishly walked into it. It wasn't until years later that we actually were trying to sell it that we realized how bad of a job we did.
How many times did you rewrite it, or did you keep the same version from the beginning?
I mean, the general sequence of events has always been the same, but there is at least 50 drafts of the script lying around. And, we've been actively trying to sell this movie for the last 8 years.
Really?
We originally wrote the Jonah part for me, but I just got too old to play it.
That's so weird that, I don't know, it seems like they always say that there are no good projects out there.
Yep.
The movie stars, you know, can't find anything interesting to read. And yet when something comes along like this that's getting universally good reviews, it's an impossible sell.
I know, it's really strange. People, we heard the words fundamentally unmakeable a lot. Everyone thought it was funny. We're like, oh, it's funny, it's just fundamentally unmakeable. But it's hilarious. We could just never make this movie.
The This is Seth Rogen on the phone with us from London today. Of course, you know, from 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up, and of course now the new Superbad that that comes out today. Did the movie studios try to get you to either clean it up or to make other changes that you would not do?
I mean, that is one of the reasons that it took so long to get made. We probably could have made it sooner if we were willing to clean it up, but that really kind of defeated the whole purpose of the movie to us, which was to make like a very raw, real take on what guys are actually like in high school. And you can't follow actual 17-year-olds for 30 seconds without something very R-rated occurring.
Right, sure. That is true.
How many times would you guess you got told no on making this project?
Oh, man, in the teens, I would say.
Yeah.
Wow.
It would come up a lot. I mean, almost to the point that we never stopped working on it, because it always seemed like someone was about to make it, and then they just chickened out. This is actually a funny story. There was a producer who attached himself very early on and really wanted to make it, and no one would make it. And then a few years later, that producer became the president of one of the studios. And we thought, sweet, now they'll make it.
Right.
And then he wouldn't even make it.
So he turned around and told you, no, we can't make it.
You know, no, this is impossible.
That's awesome.
I get it. It is fundamentally unmakeable.
Why would they keep saying that, Seth?
Because I think part of the thing is it's a movie about kids who legally can't really even see the movie.
Right.
But we always thought, you know, like, it's not just for teenagers. I mean, everyone was a teenager. Everyone's been through this stuff. So, I mean, ideally, it's universally relatable, but they have a very narrow vision sometimes. And 400 F-words will do that to you.
Yeah, exactly. Why is it that Seth Rogen is in London, has a better phone connection than if you were in the parking lot of the radio station right now, Kevin?
That's true.
It's unbelievable.
Right over here.
All right, last question, and I've been meaning to ask this all week long. Where did the name Superbad come from?
I'll give you the true story.
Right.
We couldn't think of a title for years. Me and my friend David Krumholtz, who's the star of the TV show Numbers,
right,
were drunk one night in the Valley, and he said, how about Superbad? And I said, okay, we'll call it Superbad.
So it's not really based on anything in the movie?
No, it's literally completely arbitrary. And
it's just
embarrassing because we do a lot of interviews, and they're like, so, what does Superbad mean to you? And I'm like, it doesn't mean anything. We never thought they would make this movie.
So you literally had to put a word on the title page, and that's the word you chose. That's amazing.
It seemed cool.
Well, as Kevin said, this is one of those rare films that comes along that everyone likes. The test audiences have been going crazy. The critics are loving it. It's going to have a big, big opening. Of course, the anticipation was such that they had midnight screenings last night all over Southern California. But now it's open up everywhere. You can go see Superbad. Seth, it really looks great, man. We can't wait to see it this weekend. You know, we always love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show, dude.
Thanks. And if you're too young to see it, buy tickets to Becoming Jane and then sneak in.
Excellent. That's a good choice. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you, guys.
And it's time for...
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do is 50 more free songs from iTunes again today. You pick up the phone, give us a call. We give you a $50 gift card for Apple iTunes. There's always something new on iTunes. Keep listening for updates on all the new releases.
Do they have Captain Tennille on iTunes?
Certainly. Yes, they do.
Oh, good. Osama bin Laden's going to be so happy. I just read a story. Osama bin Laden loves Captain Tennille.
Captain Tennille, the chick with the guy with the hat from the 60s?
But he's confused why he's not in the Navy, and yet he still wears a captain's hat.
Like from the LA Times. It's like Robbie Knievel. What is he the captain of?
Exactly. We're finally confusing Osama bin Laden. We got him where he wanted him.
Well, he has Osama bin Laden has his own iMix on iTunes. You can go check out all of his favorite
great.
Songs.
I didn't realize that. Diego in Montebello.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Diego.
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to talk about Reggie the Alligator. Once again, he's always going to be in the limelight. He tried to escape the other day.
I saw that.
Reggie the Alligator tried to escape from the, where is he at? The zoo now?
LA Zoo.
Yeah. Yeah, he was waiting on the loading dock, supposedly.
Yeah, he was waiting for his ride.
What's up
another
with this?
Another day, he was driving a truck, was going to take him to Mexico.
Does he not know he's an alligator?
I don't think so.
He's always on the run.
He thinks he's a traveling salesman.
Bizarre. Thank you for the call, Diego. Let's go to Harry in Pasadena. Good morning, Harry. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hi, Harry.
Lisa May.
Hello.
All right, I want to talk about the champion among men, the guy that controlled the bull at the Saddle Ranch on Sunset. Wow, this guy is out of control. He is he's a master. He can control tops and bottoms of girls however he wants, rise or fall, regardless. And
can you make requests? Can you say, I'd like to see this girl lose her top, and he'll just make it happen?
Oh, yeah. I just point my finger, you know, because I tipped the guy at 20, and he made me look like a stallion on the bull.
Oh,
and
I see.
Best night ever. You don't even know. And then from there on out, we just made eye contact. I looked at him, and I'm like, this one, it's got to go. And then next thing you know, boom, boobies popping
How
out.
How about that?
That's fantastic. See, that's a talent right there.
Jeez, that's a bargain.
That's good. I didn't know anyone was still riding bulls.
Well, for those of you who've never been, the Saddle Ranch is this awesome club up on Sunset, which is, the style is like an old Wild West sort of place.
Saloon.
And they've got a big mechanical bull in the center, and it is the thing to do on the weekends, just to ride that bull. The chicks just dig it.
I hadn't thought about a mechanical bull since Urban Cowboy was in theaters. I had no idea. And I also thought that it was an arbitrary 8 seconds or whatever, however long you get on there, that's just regulated by the machine. I didn't realize there's actually a guy who's working it.
He's got a joystick, and he puts it in different directions, different speeds.
He's working the
He's
joystick.
The man.
You know?
How about that? Why was Harry on the bull, by the way? Isn't that mostly a girl thing, I thought?
No. If you want to look like a stud, like Harry said, you get on there and you put on the glove and you just give him the sign, and then all of a sudden you're Luke Perry in 8 seconds.
Ron and Mission Viejo. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, Mr. Baxter, are you going to be in town soon?
I hope not.
Oh, well, there may be something to bring you back to town. There is an art exhibition in Hollywood, and it's called Golden Girls Gone Wild, and it's an exhibition of oil portraits and mixed media of art. Art exhibit of the Golden Girls, which Betty White, Rue McClanahan, Estelle Getty.
They're not naked, though, are they?
B. Arthur. Undressed.
They are. Yeah.
And some of them are wearing dominatrix outfits. Yeah,
they're all in sexual garb and states of undress.
Aren't they all like over 80?
Well, it's not actual.
They didn't have anything to do with them.
Yeah,
they didn't pose
for them. It's just artist interpretations of the Golden Girls.
Yeah,
the
art with B. Arthur. Topless.
And the art is for sale, so you can buy it and put it on your wall, Mr. Bean.
You know he's going to.
Since it's fiction, do they draw great boobs?
They're
old, it's all crotchety heads on hot bodies.
They look like Playboy pinups, but with the Golden Girls' faces on.
I have seen that artwork, didn't see anything I liked enough to try to buy, and I prefer to think of Betty White, you know, with my own imagination, is even sexier than what they put on the canvas, you know what I mean? Well, she's a hot lady. Come on, you guys.
God's
Betty White?
Sake, stop it.
Are you kidding me?
No one's buying it anymore, Bean.
Dear Lord.
Tom
she's
and Glendale.
Always been hot.
Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What
Betty
it do?
Boop?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, you guys with that F-cup cookie you did the other day.
Right, sure. We called Japan. They sell an F-cup cookie that supposedly will go right to your boobs.
We're going
to
buy them for Lisa.
Yeah, well, I did a little more research for you guys.
You did some research. Fantastic.
Yes, I love doing research on cups. They have a F-cup tea as well.
You drink tea in your cup and your boobs get bigger?
That's what it has. It's all Japanese, so I have a friend who speaks it, and she translated it for me and says, guaranteed.
No one's got bigger cans than the Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
They're famous for it. We need to call Aduko back, or whatever our guy's name was over there in Japan. The first time we've ever had an actual conversation with somebody in a foreign country.
Oh, yes, very much.
How does that work, guys, when you put something in your body and it goes through the right body part? Like, how does aspirin know to go to your head and not to your feet? I mean, I really don't understand. How
I think
that works.
It goes everywhere
it's
in your
huge
blood
system. Difference between pain relief through circulation and directing fat tissue.
And the truth is, they don't actually know how aspirin works.
All right, Dr. Angry. Why don't you just relax over there, Psycho Mike?
Oh, sorry.
There's a huge difference between pain relief.
You make it sound like it's not possible to do with the boobs, and I reject that totally.
I'm upset Lisa's rejecting the cookie idea.
It's really not.
What if we get her the tea? What if we get you the tea? We drink the tea?
No, it doesn't
You drink
work.
Tea anyway.
It doesn't
Guys,
work.
Guys, let's find
you
out.
You know it Wait. Doesn't
Guys,
work.
Guys, we buy the cookies and the tea. We don't tell her. We just say, hey, here's some cookies.
Ooh, we're having a tea party.
Hey, you want to have some tea? John and Santa Ana, good morning.
What it does, nephews.
What it does.
What if it does?
All right, I have another reason as to why midgets should just cease to exist.
Dude.
We love midgets. So,
I know, but listen up, okay? I'm in line at a movie theater with my girlfriend. This midget believes he has line immunity. He tries to cut in front of me, just straight up gets in front of me. He's too small for me to bend over and kind of tap him on the shoulder because I'm a tall guy.
Right.
So my only option is to kind of nudge him to the side with my foot. Apparently, the guy, all of a sudden, I pushed the wrong button.
He turns around and tries to punch me square in the nuts. Luckily, I kind of moved to the side, so he only pinched the scrotum. But still, though, by the time I wanted to do anything about it, people were staring, and I felt kind of bad punching a midget or kicking a midget in the face.
You got your ass kicked by a midget.
Actually, I got my nuts punched by a midget, but yeah.
Wow.
Thing.
You should have served him. You should have kicked him so hard he would fly away.
I was going to, but people were staring.
Who cares?
You can't kick a midget,
no,
Mike.
Why not, Mike?
He punched
They're protected.
The
like, they're protected.
Like a puppy. You don't kick a puppy.
He punched him in the nuts after this guy kicked him, Mike. I don't know if you heard the first part of the story.
He nudged him with his foot.
It was a nudge.
This guy nudged him with his foot after he cut in line, Bean.
He only takes half a seat. Who cares?
That's right.
He can sit on your lap, dude, and watch the movie. Come on.
You know what I do? I put him in my popcorn bucket.
Yeah,
the midgets, and then they can just hand me kernel by kernel. I put them to work while I'm
eating.
Perfect.
I keep a leash in the car, just in case. You never know.
A snare, a midget snare.
That's an excellent idea. And an excellent call to end on. I want to thank all of our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. How about the King of Kong Fistful of Quarters crew that came in today, by the way?
I'm guaranteeing you, people, if you go to see that movie, you will love it.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Only one theater right now, the New Art, which is right up the 405 at Santa Monica and Sawtelle. But I promise you, you will enjoy it. I've seen it here on the show, and we just love it.
I want to thank the producer, director, and star, Steve Wiebe, for stopping by. Also, speaking of movies, Seth Rogen, of course, is the co-writer and co-star of Knocked Up. Go see that. Excuse me, Superbad. Go see that. That's available everywhere. He was promoting Knocked Up in England when he called us. Mm-hmm. So I had it on my mind. Sorry about that. And thanks to Frank Caliendo for stopping by. Very, very funny. You can see him tonight. In fact, all weekend long at the Irvine Improv. Call 949-854-5455 or visit improv.com.
Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico, come in here. Monday, we have an all-new show for you, K-Rock LA Invasion tickets. If you don't get them this weekend, they go on sale tomorrow at noon. We're going to give you some more tickets on Monday morning. We got Bob Saget on Monday. We got another chapter of Trapped in the Closet. We got the five worst movie plots of all time. And we got a recap of the weekend. Dave, the King of Mexico.
The weekend of love?
Heading up to Bean's house. Dave and Bean sitting in a tree.
Wow.
Big plans.
Party time.
High School Musical 2, Dave.
Woo! Tonight, Bean plans on watching High School Musical 2 with you.
He's just saying that to be funny.
No, he's not. He wants to watch it, Dave, for reals.
You're going to be on his couch in front of his TV.
For reals.
So we're going to party. This is going to be a huge television event. You know, this is going to be one of the big events of the year, High School Musical 2 coming back. You know that, right?
Yeah, and you know what the audience is.
There were people camped out for 24 hours for the premiere of this.
Yes, and how old were they?
12.
Well, all ages.
12.
Some are 12, some are 22, some are 52.
Some are 13.
Bean is trying desperately to give us the whole, it's across all the ages.
Yes. None of them are childless,
it's like the
I'll
Ringling Brothers Circus. It's just for all ages.
We're going to have a great time with HSM2, but that's not all we're doing this weekend. We got lots of, we're going to the ball game tomorrow. We got a lot of touristy stuff too. I think Dave's going to have a good time
so
up there in Seattle.
Text,
I really do.
I want two texts. I want one that says, I'm having a bad time. At the exact moment when you realize you made a mistake.
All right.
And the other one is, I just wrecked Donna.
Okay. I'm guaranteeing those won't get to your phone.
They won't?
No.
Either of them? Why don't you at least try? You took Mike's wife away.
Not even the Donna wrecking part?
Maybe that one. But not having a good time? Yeah, because it's going to be a good time.
You know what? Dave might have a good time.
Good time.
Because you know what he's been doing all week in the office?
Right.
Looking at the panda cam.
Yeah.
From the San Diego Zoo.
What do pandas panda on a camera?
The best thing ever. Aren't that joint,
you were meant for me.
My friend, pass it over to me.
Just pandas on a camera.
That's it.
It's always watching.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What are the pandas doing?
Nothing. They don't
pass
do anything.
Pass it over to me.
He's stiffening himself.
I love pandas.
Roll another one.
Baby panda. He'll sleep in the moss.
Just like the other one.
Bean Jr.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Maybe you should stay up there with Bean.
And I need another hit.
I'm worried about the pandas.
Guys, if Dave stays up here, I'm moving back to something
else.
I can't take that pace on a full-time basis. I'm sorry.
Who can?
Look at the ostrich cam.
Another one.
Dave's a little too high energy for me, you know?
Just like the other one.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters?
This one seems to be about.
Look at the panda cam. I think it moved.
I don't have another cent.
I can't
touch them, though, because they're furry.
That one is black and white. The other one is white and black.
Just pass it around.
You're going to have a crappy-ass time, Dave.
What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? You just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
I'm starting to notice something about you. You're still here. Get out.
Get off my plane.
Okay, folks. Show's over. Move along. Yeah, nothing to see here, folks. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Okay.
I'll sign off now before I start to cry. May God ride with you. 10-4. And goodbye.
See you guys. Seacrest out. Bye-bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.